The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/theshiningwizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on swlive.net and rantemradio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is the pro wrestling maniac, Joe Gacy, and you're listening to The Shining Wizards podcast.
I have a small dick.
God damn it!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
We are live on the rantemradio.com. It is myself, Shining Wizards Eddie, and our very special guest, the WrestlePro Gold Champion, Mr. Chris Avery Kuehling. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
We are good. You guys brought the terrible weather, the two of you.
Yeah, we did.
I spent the last 3 hours doing laundry and setting up for the show. As you can tell, Studio B's got the nice standing microphones now.
This is nice.
And I got a new little headset gimmick here, but I think it's the headphone jack that's making the sounds.
Gotta be.
I don't know.
Who knows?
So Chris texted me that he was here, and I went outside, and it was a fucking blizzard.
Yeah, it sucks.
And I didn't know what the fuck was going on, so yeah. I blame the two of you.
Yeah, it's our fault. If it snows too much, we won't be able to find him because he's all in white.
He got out of his car, and I go, how the fuck are you in a t-shirt?
Because he's crazy.
I love it.
They say.
I can't do it, but God bless him. So Chris Avery Kuehling, WrestlePro Gold Champion, kind of on the short end of the stick this weekend at WrestlePro. And I know, Eddie, you did commentary, and you were successful with your boy Buster Jackson.
Yeah.
Clean. On the flip side of the coin.
Clean win.
Mr. Kuehling was on the opposite end with Reality Check.
Well, he won the match.
Well, he didn't win the war.
No.
And they they fucked up his gear.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, he's got it on, though.
That's awesome.
What a fucking champ.
Man.
That's why I'm the champ.
Just going to leave that, the Reality Check spray paint, as a reminder.
Yeah, we'll see.
Fuck.
If it comes out naturally, then that's how life's going to be.
There you go. Just leave it. I would leave it as a reminder. I think it looks awesome. Just makes you hate them so much.
Oh, yeah.
I love Ben.
Ben, I don't know what to fucking call him.
Well, his real name's Chris.
Okay.
Right.
But I first saw him, he was Big Ben Cromwell, right. And everyone called him Ben. And it wasn't until, I think, like a year and a half after I knew him that I found out his name was actually Chris.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know his name's Chris, right? I'm like, no.
Right, because Kevin's like, I texted Kevin and Tony a picture of the studio set up with the microphones.
Yeah.
Kevin's like, Ben's going to be a good time. You guys are going to have a good time. And I'm like, I don't know what to fucking call this kid.
I don't know. I usually call him Ben.
Yeah, right. Either way is fine. Everyone calls me Ben anyway.
Yeah.
You'll respond to either, though.
Yeah. Whenever they say Ben, it's probably me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I might call you Chris a couple times.
Okay.
Oh, that's perfectly fine, since that is my name.
Okay. His is shoot name, brother. And yeah. And the spelling of the last name is different than his shoot name, but it is the same. Same last name. Just the spelling is different. You want to tell him? You want to tell Matt and the listeners where we actually came up with Christopher Avery Kuehling?
The Avery part came from the Making a Murderer series.
Okay.
With Stephen Avery, but Pat was kind of like, should we give you another name and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, no. Just call me by my regular name. It's on the Raven DVD.
Yeah.
So might as well go with my actual name.
And that is Ben.
No, it's Chris. You're fucking confusing the shit out of me.
And that is Ben.
You mentioned the Raven DVD, and I want to give you a lot of credit because I didn't know much about you. And before Eddie got here, I was telling you we've only met in passing, which is kind of the way I know a lot of the WrestlePro guys. Like when we had Bobby Wayward in studio, he didn't even know I was a Shining Wizard because I'm never around.
Yeah.
And it's not by choice. Trust me. I'd much rather go to a WrestlePro show than stand out in the fucking snow and make pizza like I did Saturday night.
Yeah, that sucks.
So I was doing research, getting your plugs and shit. The blog, the website is fucking awesome, man.
Oh, his blogs are great.
ChrisAveryKuehling.com is the website. And a lot of independent wrestlers now, wrestlers in general, they have a website. They use it for like a week, and then they put a couple dates up there, and they call it a day. Your shit is active, man. It's impressive. I like that stuff.
Thank you. It beats talking.
You might have to step that up for this podcast. You are going to have to talk.
Oh yeah. I'm aware of that. That's why I have a microphone in my face.
Unless you brought a speaking spell with you.
No, I left that at home.
Oh, my God. Imagine if that's how you started cutting promos with a speaking spell.
I can't spell.
Oh, my God. Even better.
I can't speak, so.
You guys are both fucked.
What a tag team.
Imagine a tag team called Speaking Spell. And just a couple of idiots. Speaking Spell.
Sounds right up my alley.
Oh, man. Before, I want to talk about the Raven thing, because that was an interesting experience. But before that, I remember the first time I saw Ben was at a Banner show. And right away, I saw the dude, and I was like, there's something to this guy. Something, there was like a charisma that you have that no one else on that show had. Like a presence where you just stood out. There was just something about you. I was like, I liked you right away. I was like, this guy's awesome. And I came to that conclusion before I even saw you work. I was like, yeah, this guy's fucking cool. He's definitely not British, and that's fine too. But this guy's fucking great. Where did you come up with Big Ben?
I am part British.
Are you?
Yes.
Wow.
No technically. Shit.
Technically.
Not the accent part, but, you know, heritage and all that good fun stuff.
Okay, so is that where that came from?
I came up with that because I actually studied abroad.
Was she hot?
No. No, but I studied in London. I studied at a film company. I interned at a film festival that runs there called Rain Dance.
You really?
Yeah.
You were at Rain Dance interning at a film festival.
Yes.
So you have a passion for film.
The passion for film turned to a passion for writing, and I also studied Shakespeare over there at the Globe.
Wow. Damn. Look at you.
I feel, and I don't want to stereotype a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah.
I feel like he's too smart to be a wrestler. And I don't mean that I've only known you for like 20 minutes, and I'm not saying that wrestlers are dumb. You're very soft-spoken. You come off very intelligent, though. Unlike, you know, me, I'm a savage animal. You said you listened to the Team España episode. We were all fucking savage animals.
Wow.
We were. I mean, we had a good time. But, I mean, studying Shakespeare and studying abroad, That's awesome. That's an amazing adventure before the wrestling adventure begins.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely one of the life-changing moments that I've had.
How long were you over there?
I was over there for 4 months back in 2005 to date myself.
What was the biggest culture shock for you?
I would say how clean the city of London is compared to the city of New York.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
I believe that.
Yeah. I believe that.
100%. There's a lot of cities, even in the United States, that are like that, that are cleaner than New York.
Yeah. Yeah. New York's disgusting sometimes.
Yeah, but European cities typically are cleaner just because. Right. And a lot of it's different in terms of the food and stuff. A lot of stuff that's not legal over there, we put in our food.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's definitely for sure. How are the people? Friendly? You make a lot of friends? Still in touch with anybody?
No, I lost all those people.
I'm sorry. May they rest in peace.
Well, when you're continent away in 2005.
Mm-hmm. It's different. It was different then.
Yeah.
It was harder. There was no... Was Facebook even a thing yet, or it was just kind of in its early stages?
I was on Facebook because my college was one of the colleges that was allowed to be on Facebook.
That's right. Facebook was a college thing.
Yeah.
At the time.
And then they learned how to make money.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Now, when you get back from England, is this... When did you started training in 2009? Okay, so you had a few more years to finish your education.
Yeah, wanted to do the whole Plan B thing.
Okay, Plan B works. I would have been a father three times over if it didn't. Lucky me.
Well, those are the times.
And lucky, yeah, that's for damn sure.
Those are times you know it worked.
Yes, yeah. Those are times you know it works.
There might be a lot of little eddies swimming around.
There might still be.
There probably still are if you look down far enough.
God, I hope there's...
They're on my pant leg.
I hope there's a kid that goes to WrestlePro that's your kid, like as a fan, and he just like loves you and he doesn't know why.
You know, with all the horrible jokes I've made, what this poor child would look like?
He's probably a fucking stud, dude.
No.
You would think it would go the other way.
Yeah.
I bet. That's because you think it's going to go that way. It's the reverse of that.
Yeah. I'd expect him to have like one eye. It's like all the things I've made fun of people I know, it will be him. That'll be my child. That's why I'm not having kids, I don't think, because I know that's how God will get me back. He'll just curse me.
All right.
Curse me with one of them.
He hasn't cursed you with 6 years of this podcast?
No, 6 years of the podcast and five of it in wrestling. It's fucking awesome. But then you decided, okay, I'm going to try this wrestling thing. And... Right. Was your first choice of schools Gino Caruso's school?
When I moved to Jersey, because I originally grew up on Long Island.
Yeah.
I moved to New Jersey because I found a full-time position, which of course got eliminated as soon as I got into wrestling school. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But when I looked, there was only three real schools in New Jersey in the early 2009. There was Gino Caruso's.
Boo!
There was... I know. There was also Kevin Knight's.
Correct! Ding!
And then there was the Monster Factory.
Okay. Correct!
And
ding!
I lived in northwest Jersey near Mount Olive, basically the last hopes of civilization before it becomes... Right, exactly. Yeah. And so the Monster Factory was too far, especially for someone who had just gotten laid off.
Right.
I mean, that wasn't really an consideration anyway, since as soon as I joined the school a couple weeks later, then I got laid off. But, okay. And it was down to Gino's and Kevin Knight's, and quite frankly, I just saw that Gino's ran more events.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me do this. Let me go here.
And your first impression walking in, this was the Lake Hiawatha building, right?
Right.
Okay. The ring you first bumped in, was it the modified boxing ring or was it the one with the spring that was just tough as shit?
It was the one with the spring.
Oh, God, that fucking ring.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God.
It was an 18-foot ring, so mm-hmm. I got the experience in the 18-foot in training and then the 16-foot on events.
Okay.
So that helped.
Yeah, so all in all... You consider that whole experience positive, or were you kind of like, oh, wow, wrestling's like this. This is different than what you thought.
Well, I would say it's positive because places like Gino's, it's in a certain bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Where, quite frankly, I was unemployed, so I was on the ring truck all the time. So
you were unemployed like the rest of the roster of ECPW.
Well, come on. I don't really know that many people on that roster, to be honest with you. I only know a select few people who are on there anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, but I got sidetracked. So let me get back to my thought. Where was I?
I asked you if it was what you expected it to be, basically.
Oh, yeah. No, right. In the bubble.
Yeah, and, the bubble.
Yeah. So really, for what it was what I expected it to be. But once I kind of went outside of it, I kind of grew out of the bubble.
Yeah.
And had to make more out of it.
Smart.
Yeah.
That was a smart move. How were you treated when you first joined?
I mean, when I first joined, I was always doing everything. So those people who did everything, like did the ring and all that stuff, Gino called them his assholes. Typical. But
yeah.
I know it was in jest, but still, it wasn't encouraged for other rookies to really do the ring and everything. So it was just me and Creeper, me and Tony Myers doing the ring by ourselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we would do that, at least I would do it, pretty well every Friday and every Saturday and sometimes on Sundays.
Yeah, he ran a lot.
Well, there was also some rentals, too.
Rentals, too.
Yeah, Bandito Jr., who's now a rep in the WWE, used to run shows once a month in his dad's social club in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
Mambo King ran something.
Something. It was something.
Yes.
It was something. So, ECPW, how did the wrestlers treat you while you were training? Were they patient with you? Did you learn from them, or did they just take advantage of another young boy?
Most of the guys were good to me. There were some people who kind of like did the taking advantage, but then again, those people who I'm not going to name since there's no point.
Of course.
Kind of do that where they just are in it for themselves and disrespect everybody, and their teaching methods are very contradictory and all that fun stuff.
So who was the hands-on guy who taught you? Who was your first teacher before you went over to, you know, PWS, became WrestlePro, and you know, learned from Pat?
I mean, Gino was a little hands-on, but the guy I learned the most from was Tony Myers.
I love Tony Myers.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome. Yeah. He's a huge fan of yours, too.
Yeah.
He loves what you're doing right now.
Yeah, one of my good friends. He's doing the whole Leatherface thing for FMW.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just got back from Japan a little bit ago, but no, I mean, we made a bond, and one of the couple of people I still talk to from there, just him and Creeper.
And that's it?
And that's it, yeah.
Wow. And then you moved on, you said, what opened your eyes to Pat Buck's school? Was it working the banner shows and getting to know some of those guys?
Really, I initially got my eyes open to Pat Buck School when he first opened it.
Mm.
And I remember specifically that Sammy Callahan was one of the assistant trainers. And for some convoluted wrestling politic BS was like, oh, you might get heat because so-and-so doesn't like Sammy Callahan. But it's like, all right. So I kind of just hung around Gino's, and eventually I still trained every week, but he wouldn't put me on any shows. I guess since I stopped doing the ring for him, I guess I wasn't of any use to him anymore. So.
Wow.
What was your
What
was your gimmick in ECPW?
Gimmicks, actually.
Okay.
Because initially,
some winners here.
There was the main one was Big Ben Cromwell, the distinguished gentleman.
Correct. Ding. Ben,
who was also British, but yeah. But then I was told, "Oh, go get a mask so you can wrestle twice on shows." So all the shows on Fridays, Saturdays, and sometimes Sunday, I would wrestle twice and do the ring.
No.
Sometimes three times if there's a battle royal.
So much.
Yeah.
Did you have a name?
Yes. There was the Japanese assassin from Hiroshima, since I logically thought, there aren't really that many tall people in Japan. Why don't I say I'm from Hiroshima, since I'm mutated from the atomic bomb? Because I'm 6'4".
I like that.
It's a good backstory.
Then I also got some opportunities when I got to be the Masked Superstar.
The Masked. The Masked. Is that now, is this the legendary steel cage match that you had was as the Masked Superstar?
Yes. The legendary steel cage match I had. It was me versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake inside of a steel cage. And the match lasted 90 seconds.
Tell him what the match was.
That's awesome, first of all.
So basically, Brutus Beefcake gets there like a couple hours late, no fault of his own, because he came from an autograph signing on Staten Island, and there was, since it was in the middle of nowhere, PA, there was only one road, and that road was like under construction and accidents and all that. So he gets there, and this show had three cage matches. So the first cage match had to go 30 minutes to accommodate Beefcake getting there and
and
doing all that. So basically, the match consists of me bum rushing him, going to throw him into the cage. He throws me into the cage. I fall down. He pins me 1, 2, 3. And then we went to the buffet.
And then everyone went to the buffet.
So he didn't try to cut your
just
hair?
Me. No. Well, I was under a mask, so no.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, so me, Brutus Beefcake, and Andrew Anderson went to the buffet.
Oh, boy.
That sounds like a fucking party.
Yeah, it was.
Sounds like a weird party.
I love it. Look, man, I know a lot of people don't like Andrew Anderson. Every time he fucking calls in, he sounds like he's just a fucking party waiting to happen.
He calls into the show?
He's called in a couple times.
We had him as a guest,
and I think he called in another time to talk about some titties.
Wow, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I think he talked about titties when he was a guest, too.
Well, there you go.
I think I want to hang out with him and Kevin.
Which Kevin?
Kevin Garifo.
Oh. Why?
Well, I want to see...
Kevin doesn't know about titties.
That's why.
He's never seen titties.
I want to see Kevin get uncomfortable.
Oh, that's always fun.
And then we couldn't talk about it last week, and I will get right back to Ben. When you hit his fucking phone, and we had Justin Credible on the phone, and he couldn't find his phone...
Oh, it was like the world ended.
It was. I punched out of the Justin Credible conversation just to watch Kev. Bro, he looked under the couch. He kept picking up the same pillow. He was looking. He was moving the table. And you were like, and I'm trying to get your attention without him seeing me.
Yeah.
He went in the bathroom. He went in the refrigerator.
Oh, I know.
It was fucking hysterical.
I saw it all.
So I think Kevin and Andrew Anderson, drinks, party, good time.
Oh, God.
And I'd take the beefer, too.
Yeah? What was beefer like? Was he just drunk?
Well, he drove, so I would hope he wasn't drunk. I mean, I guess he was cranky because he was late and all this stuff.
Yeah,
I guess
long drive.
I guess he thought he was going to wrestle Andrew Anderson in the cage, but then it was me, and he called me the anorexic superstar. Because,
The anorexic superstar.
Saw some things I didn't want to, and we
wrestled.
Did you
see his balls?
Because
I saw the Midnight Express's balls.
No, you saw the Rock and
Roll
Express.
Oh, the Rock Express. And Roll Express. Damn it.
Boo.
You know what? It's my story.
Yeah. All right, then it was the Midnight Express. Wait, what did you see that you didn't want to see?
Let's just say that he has some royalty in that area.
Nice.
Oh, he's got a Prince Albert.
Well, I was trying to be discreet, but...
No, don't worry about that here.
The
it's
beefer,
fine.
Huh? It's
weird. We'll translate you being discreet, and we'll just put it out there. So I know his nipples were pierced, so I guess his junk is pierced too, huh?
At the time.
That's got to hurt like a...
Wow. He's probably a freak.
Well, I mean, can you blame the guy?
No.
He made his whole career off of riding Hogan's coattails, and he probably got some... A lot of strange. And then
sure.
He just probably got tired of the strange, and he had to up it.
Yeah, he upped his game.
First he went to the nipples, then he went to the ding-dong. Who knows what else? He's got bleach asshole, maybe?
It wouldn't shock me. I can't believe he has a pierced ding-dong.
That doesn't surprise... I mean...
This ruins my childhood.
He probably didn't have a pierced ding-dong in the 80s.
Maybe.
Was that a thing in the 80s?
I don't know.
That had to be, like, super taboo.
He might have.
In the 80s?
Maybe. Maybe not.
He did wear those freaky tights, though. You could see his, like, the fishnets.
Those tights he used to wear are the same yoga pants that women wear now. I see them all with the sides cut, and you see the sides of the legs, and the ass is like right there. It's like the same shit.
Fuck.
Only it looks much better on the women.
Yeah. Yes.
And every time you see one of those, you'll think Prince Albert.
Thanks, Ben. Just ruined women for me.
And they all give a collective sigh of relief.
Did you grow up a wrestling fan?
I did, yeah.
It's tough. It's tough growing up a wrestling fan.
In a cage of beefcake, though, is that, even though it lasted 90 seconds, is that's still pretty cool, no?
That's still something I definitely put up there, because I kind of think to myself, hey, I'm one of three people besides Randy Savage and Zeus who wrestled beefcake in a cage.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, if you think that is pretty cool.
That is kind of, but you didn't learn a damn thing from that match, like.
No, I mean he gave me advice
afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards he did. Yeah,
he actually took time out to talk to you and.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And was any of it actually good advice?
Yeah, it was good advice, and you know, it was very helpful for shorter matches that I've had later on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember what he crushed at the buffet?
I honestly don't. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry, please. I don't know why. I think it would be interesting to know what Bruce Beefcake fucking, like, does he eat, like, chicken and rice, or is he just, like, a fucking slob?
I think it was.
He's still kind of short, sort of in shape. I've seen pictures of him. For someone who's, like,
yeah. He looks good pushing still.
60s, not in terrible shape.
No, he looks good still.
I don't think he, like, went and had those Chinese donuts or anything, but.
Ooh, Chinese donuts.
He doesn't know what he's missing.
Wow.
Delicious.
Maybe he does. I don't
know. Delicious. All right, so your overall experience in ECPW, would you say positive? At the end of the day, when you put it all together, or just you learned the a lot of positives and negatives, and you're taking those with you?
I would say positives and negatives, meaning positives were the connections that I was able to make, and really, honestly, up until now, a lot of every event I've really been on has been through word of mouth.
Wow.
Because people just come through there, and then they run their own things. That's how I met Banner. That's how I met whatchamacallit, like Bandito Jr. That's how I met Slugga, who ran things, and I was one of their tag champs. That's how I met Shannon Hunter. I was one of her tag champs. Yeah, so a lot of different people. That's how I met Don Brower, was through Pete Nixon. Wow. And, you know.
Okay.
So it's like a lot of the Kevin Bacon thing I can't think of right now since, I don't know.
Oh, the 6 degrees of pro wrestling.
6 degrees of pro wrestling.
Basically. Exactly. And then you end up at Pat Buck's school.
Right.
And that's when everything seems to change.
Yeah, I mean, they had a free tryout, say, at this point, like 3 years ago. I'm trying to remember exactly when. 2013, so 4 years ago. He had a free tryout, and basically Atu got put on from that. McIntosh, I think, got found from that, or at least he participated in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I somehow found my way, and Pat was like, I've seen you work like twice on events. We know you work hard, yada, yada, yada. And then I kind of just went there and said, hey, can I start training here? And I kind of went between schools, and then eventually I just
went to Pat's.
Yeah, exactly.
Different world?
Oh, night and day.
Night and day.
Night and day, a different world. It's a lot more. You learn a lot more in terms of, it's like going to ECPW is like community college, and going to Creative Pro New Jersey is like university.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. So you took some of the credits from ECPW with you.
Yeah.
Did they count though, or were you? Did they just say fuck this and start you from scratch?
I mean, it counted.
Yeah.
But I mean, some things I had to relearn.
Okay.
Like certain things that were awkward.
Right.
But as you can tell, I'm an awkward person. That's why people think that's why people think I'm crazy. Apparently, I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say awkward's the word. I'd say I'd say awkward's the word. Would awkward be the word?
I don't know.
I always thought of you as just interesting.
Yeah.
An interesting person.
I don't find him awkward.
No, I'd say interesting.
But I don't know him as well as you do. But
right.
In the short, I mean, first, podcast interviews can be a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah. But so what you're getting now, like, this is Ben.
Yeah, so I don't think he's awkward at all.
No, this is how this has been.
Quirky?
24/7. Quirky's a good word.
There we go.
Quirky's a good word.
Raven used socially awkward.
Yeah, Raven used socially awkward. Do you think you're socially awkward?
I think so.
You think so? Have you always been?
I would say so. It stems from way in the past, way down the line.
Childhood stuff?
Oh, yeah, childhood stuff that we kind of did cover in the on that promo where growing up, like, I couldn't talk till I was 4 and a half.
Did they give a reason for that?
Well, this is where it gets a little bit complex. At first, they thought it was autism.
Mm-hmm.
Then, eventually, it somehow transformed into developmentally challenged.
Okay.
To eventually getting there. And I'm just trying to think. But that was in 19... That was, like, in the late 80s.
Right.
When they did that. So who knows if it's, like, some sort of high-functioning autistic type of deal.
Like, where... Because now they have this... What is it, like the spectrum now and where you would fall on that? And, and then when you were growing up, and you're younger than me, not a whole lot younger than me, but you're younger than me, but it was different then.
Yeah.
You know, kids that were, I guess, autistic or whatever, they weren't called autistic then. They were just in my school it was called the resource room, where they just kind of pushed them away and put them all together into their own class.
Right, they call that special ed.
Special ed food,
and,
yeah.
And for me, resource room was an aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it gets confusing because I was in resource room, I was in speech therapy, and I was also in occupational therapy.
Occupational therapy.
Yeah, like OT. Like that's where they tried to teach me how to hold a pencil properly, how to tie a shoe, and that was at age 9.
Wow.
When I was doing that.
No kidding. You have memories of this?
Yeah, I have memories of that, yeah.
And it's weird. Thinking back, do you know what made it hard for you? Or is it just – because that's – now that you're an adult but you have memories of this, can you piece it together like, oh, that's why this was hard for me?
Yes and no. I mean, I kind of have thoughts basically, hey, let's – kind of like, hey, it's because my brain was developing slower than other kids.
Right.
But at the same perspective, it's like, am I like this now because I didn't fully figure that out and resolve it mm-hmm. when I was at that age?
But who would at that age?
Right.
You know? It's impossible.
Well, I mean, now with knowing that one in like 102 people have autism or some number like that.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Now growing up, friends... You had a lot of friends or not a lot of friends?
Growing up, I had a couple of friends. A
couple of friends. Now, were they in resource room and special ed as well, or were they just friends from the neighborhood or in school?
Met one because he was a former bully.
Really?
Who a lot of the kids picked on me back in the day. And
mm-hmm.
and really, maybe that's also where the social awkwardness comes in because of the bullying, and you never know.
You never know.
Because at like 5 or 6 years old, you don't know what's going on between trying to go through all that and getting bullied. And I guess the one kid felt sympathy for me, and we became friends and then lost touch. Have a friend to this day who is in there like that too.
Yeah.
And really, you know, once I mainstreamed
mm-hmm.
in like the fourth grade, I really went to resource room, and then speech therapy was earlier.
Yeah.
Because not being able to talk at 4 and a half, that's really, you got to catch up since.
It's a lot of catching up there.
Yeah.
A lot of catching up. Now, you probably don't remember, so you can't speak when you're 4 and a half, until you're 4 and a half.
Yeah.
But you probably understood what people were saying to you. You think?
Yeah, I think that I understood, and I think we've completely gotten rid of all of the wrestling fans.
No, I think this is the shit they're interested in, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure at some point, too, this because I have some questions too in terms of like now with your social awkwardness that you say, like, how do you turn that off when you go in front of, I mean, anyone that's been to a WrestlePro show, there's anywhere from 500 to 1,000 more people there. How do you just block it out, or are you like, it's go time? Do you flip a switch?
Oh, that's a flipped switch, all right.
I would say it's a flip switch, and I'm also still a work in progress on it, because I still do, like, go to therapy and all that good stuff.
But that's good, though. Just keep up with it and figure shit out.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
That's what you got to do. Now, all the gimmicks you've had, Big Ben Cromwell, the Japanese assassin, the masked assassin, the Japanese assassin, whatever it is. And now, what we gave, I wouldn't say what we gave you, but what you and Pat and I and whoever else collectively developed through the promos and your background and everything like that, is this the gimmick that you're the most comfortable with? And would you even consider it a gimmick, so to say, or is it Ben with the volume all the way up?
I would say it's more so Chris with the anger and frustration turned all the way up.
Got it. So all the stuff from the past at the forefront.
Right.
And that's what makes it kind of scary.
Right.
When you snap.
Exactly. Since I've been less than vocal before, now it's kind of all coming at once.
Yeah. And were you on board with this right away? And we said, this is what we're going to do.
I was really on board just to see the opportunity, especially being able to use my actual name instead of a Ben Cromwell or Executioner Number Two or Dr. Acula or the Scranton Strangler.
Oh, man. See, that's where it got interesting. They were trying to, Eric at the time was trying to find something for you to do on the show. And he, you know, he loved all the gimmicks and the weirdness.
Yeah. And he also loved all the airport runs.
And you did a lot of airport runs, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is that now, what was it? The first one he gave you was the Strangler, the Scranton Strangler, right?
Well, the first one he was like, I want to do these things. He wanted to do the Scranton Strangler. He wanted to do some green character who was like Starman's arch nemesis from pro wrestling. I've never played that game.
Oh, Amazon.
Amazon?
I guess.
Yeah, Amazon.
I guess he was prime for a push, huh?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. It's the pun master, by the way. They'll come out.
Yeah.
They'll come out. Fucking terrible. That would have been interesting if you were the Amazon. But you took everything that they gave you, and you really put work into it. Like, the Scranton Strangler, you didn't just say, okay, you got gear. You got a real deal costume for that whole thing.
I mean, a lot of it, even from Big Ben Cromwell, when I got the tux jacket with the coattails and the monocle, me and the bowler hat, that was all my idea.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the ideas that you got, that Pat had and stuff with the whole thing was more so, hey, do this, but really I put myself into it.
Yes. Which is, I think, well, obviously it's the best thing you've ever done.
Obviously,
in wrestling. Obviously, 100 times over.
Yeah.
And you're noticed now. You're getting praised. You got praised for those promos that were very, very honest.
Yeah.
And now you're really getting praised for your work as a wrestler, as a champion. Like, that was one of the most realistic moments I think the entire locker room and the fans have seen in wrestling in a long time when you won the championship. Like, wow, the reaction you got. And there was, like, legit, like, there were people crying back in the locker room and people crying out. I think Dave Destruction was crying.
Wow.
Yeah, like, people were really happy for you because they saw you. They saw you tell your story. And then what they built with the gimmick and the storyline with Wayward abusing you and being a terrible friend. And then you finally just snapping on him.
Yeah.
You feel more comfortable as a babyface?
I mean, it's been a while since people liked me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I'm still getting used to it. I'm still getting adjusted to it. It's weird.
It's weird for you, right?
It throws you off a little bit.
Do you have a preference? Would you prefer to be a heel?
I mean, it's easier. It's easier to get people to hate you than to like you.
Yeah.
Story of my life. I know we're talking about Chris Avery Kueling right now, the gimmick, but we kind of skipped over Dr. Acula.
Oh, that's right.
That was something. Tell us about the whole Raven thing, because that was something that they did. That was a PWS thing?
That was a High Spots thing in association with PWS.
Okay. For those not familiar, can you take us through? Because Raven handpicked you to kind of redo your gimmick, right? Was that the story? Am I getting this right?
Yeah, it was called Raven's Wrestler Rescue. And basically, he, along with Sean Oliver and the guys at Kayfabe Commentaries, were like, oh, let's redo this gimmick. And Raven would kind of get a little bit of my background, not as in-depth as this conversation, more so on the wrestling side of it. And then he was like, all right, I could, based on this and hearing this, yada, 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 and watching one of my matches, which happens to be a match with Matt McIntosh.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, he kind of said, all right, we're going to do this, do it in this, and do everything in this way, and do all the mannerisms in it like this. And, you know, like, I was nervous and socially awkward, which he kind of pointed out. And plus, it was kind of like, I'm not really going to question him since he knows a lot more than I do.
Right. So you're just going to say, okay.
So it probably didn't come off compelling.
I liked it. I thought it was very interesting the way they told the story of it and actually showed you, he gave you the condom.
Yeah.
Now, when you did spit the mist, that's not what you used when you really did it, though. Was it a condom every time?
No. I held it in my mouth and in my throat.
Right. And then ruin the canvas.
Well, not my fault. Blame whoever said spit mist.
Right. Right. Which one did you hate the most out of all those gimmicks?
Huh. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I don't think it was really hate. It was just,
what was the least, like, you, which one were you the least comfortable doing?
I would say, I wouldn't say the least comfortable doing. I would say the thing that I didn't really get to play around with as much was Dr. Acula.
Yeah.
Just because I was comfortable, but as soon as I kind of got used to it, it kind of just got shut down.
And that was the end of it.
Right.
And then now what do we do with you?
Right, exactly.
Was the thing. Because now we have this guy who's big. I mean, you're a tall guy. You're a tall guy. You have the size. You're intimidating. You're definitely intimidating. You know, you have an intimidating presence when you're in the ring. And they had to find something good for you. And they said, you know what? Let's just tell your story and let you be you.
Yeah.
Just fucking angry. Angry at everything that happened to you in your past. And listen, like you said, too, just turn the volume up on that anger. And now here we are with Christopher Avery Kueling, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really fucking good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Is this the most fun you're having wrestling right now?
Yeah, I would say so. Because I'm able to kind of do my thing, and then every time it's a new different challenge. Like, of who they put in front of me, what I have to do, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and your chemistry with Wayward throughout that entire, you know, storyline, which may or may not resume, you know, who knows. I thought it was a perfect pairing. You know, it was a perfect pairing for you. How does your mom like you doing the wrestles?
I mean, she's supportive of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not sure if she likes the I'm going to get hurt aspect of it.
Of course. But does she like what you're doing now as Christopher Avery Kueling?
I don't think she sees it as things. She just sees it as me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So she doesn't give you a hard time about it or?
No.
Fully supportive.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's important. Good for you.
Yeah. Not sure how much of it she actually watches, but
she doesn't have to watch. It'd probably make her a nervous wreck.
Yeah. She sees it on Facebook and all that good stuff.
Now, did your mom see the promo that you made?
I don't think so.
Really?
I really don't know. I didn't really ask. Hey, did you watch this, Mom?
You should just send her the link. I think she would. That's wow.
Yeah.
You should show her. Now you have a significant other.
Yeah.
Okay. And well, I knew that, but I'm just asking asking. She's fully supportive of what you do.
She is. Yeah.
That's important too. Yeah. Now, what does she think of the character itself, though, and the gimmick?
She enjoys it.
She enjoys it.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah. She also does the naughty, naughty thing, too, from Ben Cromwell, but...
Naughty? Does she do the pendulum elbow to you?
No.
Are you going to bring that back?
You never know.
Oh, I hope you bring that back.
We are live on the Rant, Rant DM Radio. Chris Kuehling is our guest tonight, if you're listening or just tuning in. He's the WrestlePro Gold Champion. He's a Twitter and an Instagram, at Chris Kuehling. Kuehling is spelled Q-U-E-L-I-N-G. And then he's got ChrisAveryKuehling.com, again, an awesome site. He writes awesome blogs. You really get to see the man behind Chris Avery Kuehling, and it's great. I highly recommend you check it out. And if you're an independent wrestler out there, you should definitely have your own website where you're free to express yourself. You know, Twitter's got 240 characters, and half the time a lot of these guys come off looking like jerk-offs.
Ben had 244 different gimmicks. He had 244 different characters, too.
Him and Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah.
They're up there in terms of gimmicks. But he's joining us. He's in studio. We've been having a lot of great conversations with him. This past weekend, WrestlePro Saturday night, the last show, Kevin Matthews one-on-one. This time he's reformed Reality Check. You and Delroy... What's that like for you? Is it difficult to work a tag match? Because you seem like you're a loner, especially when you get out there. Obviously, you spent that time with Bobby Wayward. He bossed you around and told you what to do. Eventually, he got the short end of that stick, and that's why he's not the champion anymore. I feel like you're a loner, almost like a Bad News Brown. Bad News Brown? That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
shit, why did I just forget fucking... Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, it... Man.
I hate myself.
Yeah, you're right. It's Bad News Brown. You didn't say anything bad.
Well, except for the curses, but...
Yeah, other than that.
Oh, my God. I don't know why that just happened. Sorry.
Yeah, he was black, too. Did you know that?
Fuck. Canadian, right? No?
Yeah, and he had a rat at one point.
Those were possums, just so you know.
They were possums?
They were fucking possums.
I thought they were giant sore rats.
They were possums.
You fooled me. I was a child.
There you go.
I was a child, though.
I mean, I was in a tag team a while back, but really I do better singles wise since with tag teams, sometimes you have to carry the load when your partner doesn't perform up to snuff.
That's like Warren Roddy just carrying that load. That is the Big Deal Craig Steele all those months.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
So another baby will do to you.
Yeah.
No more stress. He's the opposite of stress eating. Just stress.
Just stress. Stress. I love Craig. We got to get him back, too.
I would love to have Craig back on.
That's another ECPW alumni.
Pub Bully.
Pub Bully. The first real wrestler besides Vicious Vin that I was ever in the ring with was Craig. We were in the ring with Mr. Puerto Rico, and he gave me two burning hammers in front of Mr. Puerto Rico to make him laugh.
Oh, Mr. Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Ralph Soto.
Johnny Dreamer.
See, these. This is all before Ben was there.
I mean, I've heard of Johnny Thunder, but never...
Heartbreak Dad.
Who hasn't heard of Johnny
We called
Thunder?
Him Heartbreak Dad, Johnny Thunder. A lot of people.
Can you confirm or deny? I heard Gino Caruso isn't really Italian.
I mean, I honestly don't know, because... It's not like I have access to his birth certificate or his DNA or anything.
I should.
Fair enough.
I mean, he looks Italian enough.
He got so mad when we used to chant Gino's Irish.
Oh, yeah. We spent the good year, 2 years just tormenting him.
We really did. It was, what was it, Ben? It was like in the late 90s. We would go to the ECPW shows. Every week they had them, or two or three times a month?
They did their tapings like every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night, and we would just go. as young, dumb marks and just heckle these poor guys.
I don't know about dumb, but we were definitely young marks.
Yeah.
We were douchebags. We were all ECW fans.
Yeah.
And we thought that transcended to every other independent promotion in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Especially with one ECPW.
Exactly. Like, oh, it's just one different letter. How different can this be?
It did not go over well with a lot of people.
Surprise.
Some people were really into it.
Yeah, but we ruined, like, a lot of his TV tapings.
I don't know if we ruined it. I think we were a raucous crowd. If you see that on TV, you're like, I gotta go check this out.
Yeah, there's, like, this one group of, like, six or seven guys that are making all the noise.
Chanting, yelling, screaming, yelling at Steve, the referee.
Was Steve the ref there when you were there?
I don't think so.
Was Cowboy Carson?
No.
Cowboy Carson.
Wow. He wasn't there?
Ref there was Quick Count Al Soprano.
Quick Count Al Soprano.
I want a fucking cool nickname.
You'll never be Quick Count.
I just want like a cool, it doesn't even have to be wrestling related. I just want a cool nickname.
Shining Wizards of Matt's pretty cool.
No.
How about something like Metal Dog?
I don't know, like you know, like John, it's Johnny two times. He says everything twice.
I'm going to go get the papers.
Yeah, so, you know, like, fucking people I work for, everyone they know, everyone has a nickname.
Ben has a lot of nicknames.
He's got a lot of
like
nicknames.
Ben.
Yes.
Like Ben, yeah.
Ben, yes.
It's always, I don't know how to do it. So it always comes out Ben, but sometimes once on a blue moon it comes out as Chris. But it's usually Ben. Do you still watch wrestling now?
I do, yeah.
Just do you watch it still as a fan, or do you watch it more to study?
More to study, and I'm a fan at heart.
Right. I think we all are
fans
at heart. But now, as a fan, what do you think? What do you watch? Was it NXT, WWE? That's it?
I mean, I try to catch a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I mean, I watch some older stuff, too.
Older stuff's the best.
Yeah. Well,
that's the best. That's my favorite shit.
And Japanese stuff, too.
Japanese stuff.
Like New Japan, probably.
The new stuff?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm talking. Did you see the World Tag League?
Nope, did not.
It's good.
Is it?
It's fucking good. The finals they had Monday night / Monday morning Tuesday here. Morning. I don't fucking know how it works.
I think they're like 13 or 14 hours ahead.
It was, if you wanted to watch it, it was like Monday morning at 1:30 a.m. Like you could watch it live.
God.
I
have work. I can't.
I'm definitely taking off for Wrestle Kingdom. And I'm going to watch that at, like, whatever.
What night is that?
It's like the middle of the fucking week.
I'm like usually off Wednesdays, so.
But they've fucking Jericho Omega.
That's pretty huge.
He showed up again.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was fucking awesome. Did you see the press conference afterwards?
No.
Omega attacked him at the press conference.
That's awesome.
And Jericho's calling people fuck faces and dirt. It's fucking gold.
That's fantastic.
It's brilliant how they managed to. We've seen everything in wrestling, right? It's safe to say that we've seen everything in professional wrestling. And it's just a good old-fashioned dude versus dude.
Yeah.
And just the way the story gets told, it's mind-boggling when you watch like the WWE programming, why it doesn't work like this. Like, 9 o'clock Monday morning, Omega and Jericho is trending worldwide. And that video is everywhere. Everyone's posting Jericho showing up.
Yeah. Huge.
Like, you know, it's, you know, they're having a match,
but it's the build that means so much.
Holy shit, the build is awesome.
And it's one of those few last remaining matches that just, oh, this has not happened yet. This is something new. No one ever thought ever again they'd see Jericho wrestle outside the walls, no pun intended, of WWE. I stole a pun from you.
Oh. It's all yours.
It's all mine. I take that terrible
point.
It's
all yours. It's Eddie's. Well, a couple notes from New Japan just to put a bow on that as we move forward with our guest, Chris Avery Kewling. Things of note. There's really nothing of note. I'm sorry. That was a terrible segue for me.
Wow.
Outside.
Things of note. Nothing.
It's all. Well, it's. So the WWE does like their filler pay-per-views. And then I guess,
which is everything except for WrestleMania.
For the most part, you could say that. New Japan does like they did We Love Pro Wrestling was the last big show where the Jericho announcement was made. And then this is kind of like a filler where you're not seeing, like, they're not wasting all these main
event payoff matches. Yeah.
So it's a lot of tag teams, a lot of 8-mans, a lot of 10-mans. Sonata and Evil beat the Gorillas of Destiny to win the 2017 World Tag League. So they will face the Killer Elite Squad at Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP Heavyweight Championships titles. Tag titles? Why am I retarded tonight?
It's okay. I like the Killer Elite Squad.
What the fuck, man?
You're doing okay.
But you got, I mean, Naito and Takahashi against Okada and Will Ospreay was an awesome match. Fucking Team Best Friends against Death Juice was an awesome match.
Death Juice is a cool name.
It's fucking Sammy Callahan and Juice Robinson.
Death Juice is a good fucking name.
I was very surprised to see Michael Elgin.
Oh.
Just because of everything that's going on. Have you been following the Michael Elgin saga?
The medical Elgin?
The Michael Elgin?
The Michael Elgin.
Do you know about the saga?
I read up that something happened at his school and he didn't act on it appropriately in a timely manner. So he basically said, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, for the most part. Someone claims they were sexually assaulted by a student.
And they claim that he knew right. and didn't do anything about it.
Yes.
Okay. Was that his?
There's a lot of DMs, a lot of weird DMs.
Was that his swan song?
Maybe. I don't know. That's shady shit, man. You get called on that, then you fire the kid, and then you sell your company?
Yeah.
I don't know. You kind of look like you're guilty. I mean, we've had him on the show a bunch of times. He's always come off nice. But, I mean, some of the back and forths and the messages that you read between him and this girl,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's super awkward and super uncomfortable.
I hate when shit like that in general becomes, like, public.
All goes down to DMs.
It's good
bro.
For us to talk about, but on the same note, like,
of course it is. But you
I hate how now a private conversation you assume, because the way everyone communicates now is through technology, none of that could be private. Like, it stops people from saying things they really want to say sometimes in conversations because they're afraid that eventually, what if I have a falling out with this person? This shit's going to be put out there.
Oh, there's no privacy anymore.
No, anywhere. So people could only have real, honest conversations basically. Face to face, I feel like. Otherwise,
that doesn't happen ever.
And it's rare. Like, there's a few guys, a few people, I'd say more than a handful that I could definitely talk to and know that they'll never, you know, copy and paste and say, oh, yeah, well, when we were friends, you said this and plaster it. But for the most part, it's scary.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
You know? Everything's public.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. It's like, crazy now.
People are there's you have good people, you have bad people, you have people that are fucking jerk offs. Like someone's
a fucking jerk off.
Like someone's a jerk off to me. Like that's it. You're out of my life. I don't need to fucking go on some because the nonsense and the drama that you're gonna create.
Yeah,
I don't need you spending all day on my fucking phone arguing over something that you said to me or I said to you, and then you put on a fucking out on the internet for the world for what?
Attention. It's all attention.
But you're kind of in the inner workings of WrestlePro and CreatePro New Jersey. I mean, you got to know better. Like, something like this happens on Pat Buck's watch, he's blowing the whistle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no, like, skirting around it. Like, apparently this happened months ago at Glory Pro, which is Michael Elgin's promotion.
Yeah.
And it took him, like, a couple months to fire this kid.
See, that I don't get. You just got to act on it.
And I don't know if everything has come out.
Yeah.
But man, you can't. That shit's not. You can't take that shit lightly. Not in this day and age.
Not now.
Someone says sexual harassment or sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, right
away.
Figure
shit out.
Right away.
He, you know, if he knew about it, and he let it go, and now it's gotten to this point. I mean, he's been pulled from Smash Wrestling. He's been pulled from AAW. I mean, who knows how far this goes.
Kind of, it on one note, it kind of sucks, but on the same note, it's like, yeah, you didn't, maybe you didn't do the right thing. Maybe. Who knows the truth, but now that the shadow of doubt is out there, it's going to affect his career for a while.
Yeah, and it's a shame, because he's a super talented dude.
If I told you all the things Ben told me, oh my God.
What?
I will comment, Ben. I do like the merchandise that you're wearing there.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of that.
Thank you. This is the misprinted version of it.
I like the misprinted version.
Oh.
Was that the Timothy Plasma version?
That was the Dan Ram version.
You could wear it in a mirror.
Wait, it's not supposed to be backwards?
No.
Oh, fuck. I thought it was supposed to be backwards. I thought that was clever as shit.
No, it was an accident. It was a happy accident. Mine, I have the real one. You could read it. The backwards one is kind of cool, though.
I do like the back. It just, I feel like it fits like
you
a
know
crazy
what?
Person.
That does kind of fit.
Like a crazy person is going to wear like shit that's backwards.
Yeah.
Right? Like I would do the thing for Halloween where I would wear the doctor gown. And then I would shave my head like the
yes.
Road Warriors. And
yeah.
then I wore a paper plate as a mask with a face on it.
Yes, you did.
And clown shoes.
Yes.
It's just some crazy weird shit.
Just crazy weird shit.
If I threw a backwards t-shirt on, it's a fucking home run.
It's a win.
I'd win something at a Halloween costume party.
That's for sure. That is for damn sure.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Let's talk to me about WrestlePro this weekend.
Oh, fucking awesome. Awesome fucking show. Top to bottom. I wasn't at Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because work. But you were in Brooklyn Friday night.
No,
you weren't either. They didn't let him out of his cell.
Okay.
Friday night, he's only allowed, I guess, sometimes one weekend pass, one night out. But it was very disappointing because of the fucking weather.
What are you gonna do?
And that, of course, fucking hurts the house.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, always. Always does. When the weather's like that, it's always a lighter crowd.
How many people do you think?
What do you think, Ben? Like 300, 350?
Well, I guess. I didn't really count.
Yeah. I'd figure.
It's still
not
bad. I mean.
No, it was a good amount of people, but it wasn't like bleachers filled.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they were very good fans.
Yeah, well,
they were into it all night.
I wasn't saying
awesome.
Wasn't bad for. I'm saying it's not bad considering
mm-hmm.
the weather was fucking abysmal.
It was fucking abysmal. However, it was the show itself from top to bottom. I enjoyed it because now I get to sit out there for every match,
right?
Which is a lot of fun. And Ben had the no DQ match, and then they fucked him up afterwards and ruined his gear. We can get into more of that and the impact. Not the impact. The WrestlePro Tag Team Championship changed hands, and now
yes.
LAX, I guess, are taking them to Impact. And
all right,
Eli Drake and Del Rio had their Impact Wrestling title match as
How
the main
that?
Event. It was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
See, I like when you're in after a WrestlePro show because you actually know what's going on, and Kevin has no fucking idea.
He has no idea,
and he's not going to listen to this, so I can say whatever the fuck.
No,
I
he's
want.
He's not. He's not going to listen to this at all.
No, he won't. He hates his fucking voice. Can I run down the card real fast? Because I have the results.
Yes,
I had a lot of research for this show.
Okay, and I'll give my. We can give our opinions.
Six man tag action: Fala, Pat, and Rhett Titus beat Team Espinicos.
No, Espinicos beat them.
Oh, so these are all wrong.
Did Kevin give you those?
No. I pulled these from the Wrestling Observer.
Oh, our friend?
No, that's PW Insider. That's Mike Johnson.
No, Team Espinicos beat them. They won. Okay. But at the end, Santa Fala squashed Coach and sat on him, and then Rhett Titus and Pat sat on Santa Fala's lap.
Oh, Santa Fala is a good luck, too, for him.
Yeah, Santa Fala was awesome.
All right, I'm
fantastic. It was fun.
I'm going to read the next one, then, and then I'll know if this is all fucking wrong.
Okay.
CPA beat Colt Cabana?
Yes.
Okay.
Really fun match.
I could see that.
Really fun match.
CNA beat Casey Catal?
You could say that.
Like beat her ass, huh?
You could say that.
All right. She didn't break her nose again, did she?
No.
Okay. Your boy Buster Jackson won a six-way?
Yeah, we cheated.
That's not a fucking surprise.
Yeah, it was good.
What a cast of characters in that match, too.
Yeah, it was like the Island of Misfit Toys in that match.
Fucking awesome. Bobby Wayward beat Crowbar?
Yeah. Did you see that match?
No.
Did you get to see? That was fucking good. It was old school, good storytelling, safe, easy, but hard hitting.
All right, I can dig that. Danny beat Bowens?
Did I miss that match? No, he had to have. Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, he beat him, and then Bear Bronson came out and kicked the shit out of Moff before intermission.
All right, so now I'm on Team Bear Bronson.
Yes.
Just because the whole Danny Moff thing really annoys me.
What, the whole?
He was going to destroy fucking WrestlePro, and then it all turned around, and everybody loves him again.
Yeah, dude. I love heel Danny Moffer.
So do I.
Oh, man.
It's fucking bullshit. The Beach Bums beat the Taboo Crew?
Yeah.
Okay. This says Kevin Matthews and Chris Steeler beat Chris Avery Kuehling and Delroy.
That didn't happen.
That did not happen.
Bob. Nick Nandowitz.
Nick Nandowitz, you nincompoop.
This is where this came from.
What show is he at?
You have failed.
He was at the wrong show.
He's got two wrong so far.
Okay.
Well, LAX, I know they beat the Apple Corp to win the Apple Corps to win the tag titles.
Apple Corps? Corp. They're two dead apples. The Apple Corps.
And then Eli Drake, he successfully.
Just a dead rotting apple. Is what it is the team.
Yeah, fuck just it. Go with it.
Throw a dead rotting apple in the ring. That's
they're
the
rotten.
Apple Corps. Okay, it's true.
The Apple Corp.
Apple Corpsies.
Corpse. Corpsey. It's Apple Corp. What are they?
Apple Corps. Like, the Apple Corps. Like Army Corps.
But everyone calls it the Corps.
No.
Apple Corp.
No
they
one calls
C-O-R-P.
It the
Corp.
That's how it's spelled.
The Corps?
Yeah.
That's how you spell the Corps.
I love you.
Am I fucking retarded?
Yes.
I'm having a bad night.
Don't say retarded. It makes Chris angry.
I'm sorry. Don't. Please don't be angry. Chris is a big boy. I don't need my fucking. I don't need him Lennying me.
Yo, his finisher is so sick. I don't think there's any way where that can not hurt you.
What is it?
He fucking runs at you full force and clotheslines you in the back of the head.
Yep, that'll do it.
It kills
that'll
you.
That'll knock you out.
You can find it on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah, it's all over YouTube. The best was, who did you hit with it that I thought you fucking killed? The referee in Brooklyn that got scared and kind of like the one you stepped on really hard.
Yeah, the one who...
The Mark ref?
The one whose ECPW tickets fell out of his pocket.
Yes.
After you clotheslined him?
No.
Just ECPW tickets flew out of his ref pockets after Ben killed him.
And nobody picked them up.
And nobody picked... No one... They couldn't give those away.
I don't want to go to the TV tapings of Paramus.
The TV tapings?
No, it was in Brooklyn. They have events in Brooklyn, too.
I'm so mad they don't do it down here anymore.
They don't even do it in Paramus anymore.
It's upsetting.
Where do they do it now?
I think Rochelle Park.
Yes. There's always a fucking poster at that AMP over there when I go to cash my change in.
Yeah.
And I always chuckle to myself. First I see who I know on there, so I feel bad for them. Although it's a payday.
Mm-hmm.
Then I chuckle, and then I go, fuck, I was off that weekend too. I could have probably gone.
Could have totally went. But yeah, the finisher is fucking death.
Yeah, it killed
Dave Destruction.
Is that why he's commentating now?
Yeah.
And Mario.
And Mario. Out. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got a hit list. I like that.
He does have a hit list. And that's the one thing that's great about Ben's finish is it's one of those finishers that you could believe. It's not super fancy pants. It's fucking brutal. And when he hits it, it's over. He beats you.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's not a falsie. It's not a falsie finish where he'll hit it and, you're not kicking out of that.
Right.
If you kick out of that... That finish is dead.
Well, someone kicks out of it, depending on the way the story is built.
No one really kicks out of it.
Ever?
No one, right? Did anyone ever kick out of it?
No.
Not yet. Is Kevin Matthews going to kick out of it?
He's
a fucking MMA fighter now. I don't know if you watch Impact.
No. Knowing Kevin
No, you don't watch Impact?
No, I don't watch Impact either. I watch his segments. I don't watch Impact. I watch Kevin's segments, and
America
I watch
Top T, baby.
Fala's segments.
I'll just kick him in the knees.
That's all. Yeah, just kick him in the knees. But yeah, I don't think Kevin would make himself. I don't think Kevin would kick out of that. I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know who he's feuding with right now.
Yeah.
Reality check.
Yeah.
Kevin has reformed reality check.
Yeah. Yes, he did with Talon and Chris Steeler, and they fit the part. They look good.
That's good. Yeah, I saw some pictures.
Craven's probably home crying, hugging his pillow. He's sad.
Poor Craven.
But yeah, that's what's going on with that.
Poor guy. CZW ran a show, Cage of Death, Saturday night. And I feel like we dropped the ball, Eddie, because last time you were here,
mm-hmm.
before you went on your work hiatus, we talked about the NWA champion, Tim Storm.
We should have had him on?
Yes, he is no longer the NWA world champion.
Shocker.
He lost the title to Nick Aldis.
At CZW. I bet you the crowd shit all over that.
I really don't. It was kind of like an open challenge.
Okay.
They had invited the NWA and Tim Storm to come defend their title at CZW Cage of Death, and then he finally said yes. And then I think Magnus was a surprise, and he beat him. So that was some pretty big news that came out of CZW Saturday night.
Interesting.
And, our guest last week, MJF, he successfully gained his Wire TV championship back by beating Joey Janela and taking ridiculous fucking bumps. I don't know if you saw the video.
When they jumped
off the balcony?
Yeah, through the tables. Yep. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, insane. very, I don't know.
And then the Cage of Death was, you know, the Cage of Death. If you've ever seen a Cage of Death, it was exactly what you would expect.
Uh-huh.
Ricky Shane Page, he successfully retained against Shane Strickland and Joe Gacy. And then there was kind of like a shoot thing at the end with Brett Lauderdale and Nick Gage.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what that it's the way they're projecting it in interviews is like, oh, this is we had an agreement to work together, and then it fell through, but we decided to do it anyway.
Right, and then John Carler just said, "Come on down." And
we yeah, did. Whatever it is for the fans of CZW and GCW, I'm sure it's interesting. So good for them.
Yeah, I'm with you. If, good for them.
Yeah, good for them. If it's interesting to the fans and it makes them want to buy tickets and go to the shows and makes it more fun, then cool.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So yeah. That was just a couple notes from CZW, Cage of Death 19, which happened Saturday night.
You know what a funny story about WrestlePro?
Oh.
I was joking with Dave about this, or maybe Kevin too, or maybe our friend Pat also. I was like, you know, regardless if it makes it to TV or not, I called an Impact Wrestling Tag Team title match and championship match.
Oh, you called both of those matches?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Isn't that stupid?
I think that's awesome.
It's ridiculous.
I love it.
It's funny. Like how, you know, it's just weird.
Amazing.
It's just
weird. It's awesome.
And when Dave and I were calling the main event, we had a text message saying they may use this commentary. We were halfway through and I just looked at Dave and I went, oh, gotta bring it.
Field day.
Gotta bring it. Field day.
Field day.
Yeah, it was. You know how hard it was to not call him Del Rio?
Very hard.
I had to say Alberto El Patron. Like, it was just a pause every time because I had to make sure I didn't fucking say Del Rio.
Yeah.
You know? So. But that was a bucket list thing. Kind of cool.
That's all. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. It was cool.
No matter, you know, if it's on fucking Impact or.
Or the YouTube or
Ring of Honor or wherever. Yeah, your commentary's out there.
Yeah.
As much as we make fun of Tony for doing commentary for Tier 1, I mean. You know, like 20 people heard it, so that's good for him.
Yeah,
good and, for I mean, him. You're going to get a bigger audience, clearly, but...
Good for me.
So is life.
So is life.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Did you see Rich Swann is beating bitches up?
Oh, we don't know what really happened yet.
All right, Rich Swann got arrested. We know that happened.
That did happen.
When he was suspended by the WWE.
Yes.
For allegedly... what they say, kidnapping and domestic battery.
Yeah. Well, he had an argument with Mia.
Sue Young
in the car.
Yes, and then she tried to leave.
And he said, get back here, don't leave.
Right, and they were like yelling and screaming at each other.
Yeah. But he was released on his own recognizances. So it's not like, it's going to be one of those things where I think they're just going to work it out, probably drop the charges, and then hopefully he can resume his career. Unless he has a past with her of doing things like this. But we don't know. We don't know.
Well, she said that he does have a temper.
Okay.
They are married, though. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't make it okay.
No.
But I don't know.
Ben, do you have a temper?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Hold on. There you are. No.
I mean, outside of wrestling. What frustrates you? What frustrates you?
This interview.
No. This is his best podcast he's ever done, God damn it.
I've done a couple others.
Not as good.
No. Of course not.
Not even close.
No.
But yeah, what frustrates you out of pro wrestling? What kind of things piss you off?
Just more so things with myself.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes my shortcomings, I get frustrated over that.
Really?
Yeah.
It frustrates to the point where it makes you angry.
Right, exactly.
And then with that anger, how do you focus that anger? What do you do?
I clothesline people in the back of the head.
Perfect. See? So wrestling is very therapeutic for you.
Yeah.
How about at practice? Do you kill people at practice too?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's fucking awesome. You are definitely one of the most believable guys in the ring.
That's because it's true.
Now you... Oh, I turned my mic on.
Silly goose.
Wow, you make me nervous, Chris. I'm just going to let you know that now.
Does he make you nervous?
No.
Okay.
I'm just a fucking jumble of shit today. I don't know what it is with me.
You're fine. So
you mentioned all the other promotions that you've gotten to work through word of mouth. Anything on the horizon outside of WrestlePro, Creator Pro?
I'm trying to ramp up more for 2018.
Okay.
And wrestled at the Monster Factory last month in their big, like, 50-man...
Oh, the Turkey Bowl?
The Turkey Slam.
Oh, Turkey Slam, Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
You had some eliminations.
Yeah, I eliminated a couple people. And hope to go back there next year.
All right.
And really, other than that, just trying to really get myself into some different places, some more prominent places. And really just trying to push that for myself for next year.
You should go to Pat, if you're listening, Beefcake versus Chris Avery Kuehling, hair versus hair match. Done.
Oh, Brutus Beefcake.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not Beefcake Charlie.
I gave you a look like,
No, no, no. Not him. Brutus. Reignite the feud.
I think Brutus is almost, like, has a shaved head, though.
He's got nothing to lose.
It's isn't it Beach Blonde, too? Or Bleach Blonde, whatever you call it. Beach Blonde. Bleach Blonde.
Bleach Blonde? Could be. I haven't seen the guy in a while.
Who is your...
Hair versus hair.
I have to ask this because every guy that's ever been on the show and is a wrestling fan, that moment when you're in the locker room, like, that guy that you looked up to or you were a huge fan of, when he walks back there, or he's walking around shaking hands or you're talking to him, do you just have that, like, zen moment? And who's that guy where you're just like, I can't believe I'm having a conversation right now with Hulk Hogan just because he's on the TV?
It would be more so of like having matches with people rather than like talking to them.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't believe I got to wrestle Jimmy Snuka. It was probably one of the last matches he had too.
What year was that?
2012, I want to say.
Wow! Holy shit!
Yeah. He didn't murder you, so that's good.
Wow. Well,
good lord,
no. Unless I'm a zombie, you never know.
That's your next gimmick. Don't give me any ideas.
No, you got to leave. Just leave. Chris Avery Kuehling is good. Just
this
leave
is
him.
It. This is it. Yeah.
Leave him as the face of WrestlePro. What's that like for you to be the WrestlePro gold champion?
Pretty humbling.
Yeah.
But I also know that I worked really hard to achieve it.
That's fucking right. You earned that.
Yeah, I mean, we went through the laundry list of gimmicks that you went through and... Yeah. And
paying his dues at Geno's and going unappreciated, having the nickname, oh, those are the assholes. And then when you stop doing that, oh, you're no longer of use. How do you look at a guy like honestly, and this makes Geno Caruso look like a big fucking idiot. How do you look at a guy like this?
It's a big boy.
A big boy who has...
He can move, too. I've seen him work. He can move.
Who can fucking work, who can move, who's willing to learn and help out. And how do you not use him? How?
It makes
no fucking sense.
They already had a Kodiak Bear.
Kodiak Bear. They already had a... Kodiak Bear was gone at this point.
No Kodiak Bear Jr.?
No Kodiak Bear Jr.
I don't know. The Kodiak Bear comes around once in a while. I wrestled the Kodiak Bear one time.
I always liked Kodiak Bear. I liked him. I thought he was a real throwback.
Yeah.
He was a real throwback. Real old school throwback
there
guy.
Was him. There was Johnny Thunder.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, and then there was like Lord Colt and Countess Noir and the Army of Darkness and all those characters.
Man.
Junior Flo and Frankie Flo. Hey, we didn't talk about your concussion.
Oh, nice segue.
Yeah, that's a good segue. Tell us tell the listeners and Matt over here your concussion story.
One of the concussions.
One of them.
Sure.
Yes.
I'm wrestling Frankie Flo. He slams me, goes for a leg drop. Land ass first on my head. And this is a tag match, a four-way tag match that's supposed to go, that's, you know, It's a four-man tag match that's supposed to go nice and smooth, but... And my head was throbbing for the rest of the match. And when I was like, what the hell? It's like, oh, the ring was on a slant.
Yeah. The ring was on a slant.
Yeah.
Did they get mad at you? Did they get mad at you about... Did something happen where he stiffed you after? Or there was like an altercation?
Not that I remember.
I'm trying to think. I remember something looked weird. Maybe it was just that leg drop and then you were just fucking loopy.
Did you see that match?
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I said, holy shit, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fucking
now,
sucks.
When obviously, at the moment, you knew something was wrong, but did you think it was just another, you know, your bell was rung, or did you know, like, I probably have to roll out of the ring and just powder on the outside until this is over?
I think after a little bit, I was able to tag out and roll out.
And then, you know, did you go to the doctor for that? Or you just figured, okay, I'm just not going to sleep tonight?
No, I went to the doctor for that. I was out for like a month.
Real deal?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that something you worry about every time? I mean, it's no different than getting in a car and driving or playing sports. But, I mean, is that in the back of your head? Like, yeah, your bell got rung once. You know, if it happens again and another time after that, like, where do you kind of be like, I gotta pump the brakes on this.
Not awkwardly enough. different segue word looking for it. Interestingly enough, I was in a bad car accident, got hit by a drunk driver over the summer.
Cooled down
over the summer and stuff, and now that all of my physical therapy is pretty well and done, now I feel more comfortable being able to go out and do my thing.
Okay.
That's fucking scary.
And be able to say, hey, I'm here, so I want to wrestle.
Yeah.
Can you put me on, or do I have to hop the rail? What do I do here?
Just hop the rail.
Or if they don't have guardrails, just walk up.
If it's ECPW, do they have guardrails?
Yes.
They do?
They do.
I don't remember.
Who's your biggest challenge in WrestlePro going into 2018? I mean, WrestlePro Gold, you're holding it. The belt's here, which I think is cool. I love when the guys bring the belts
and
to the studio.
And come in gear. It's fucking awesome.
Who's the biggest threat? I know you're dealing with Reality Check. There's always Danny Moss in the rearview mirror. I'm sure Bobby Wayward hasn't forgot about you.
I would say at the moment, Reality Check, just because... If you look and see what they did to me, and really, they're the most present threat. So that's really the threat I see. The other threats that come later on, once they come head on and have the courage to face off with me, then I'll face them then. But for now, it would be Reality Check.
Okay.
If I was Kevin in WrestlePro land, I would be fucking terrified, only because I know Chris is going to look at Kevin and see every single person that's bullied him in his life.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
He's not gonna kiss him.
He's not gonna call you gay.
He's not gonna call me gay. That's okay. Kevin's soundbite, right?
That is Kevin. Yeah. Yes.
No, he's gonna. Chris is gonna look at Kevin and
no,
just probably
it's not.
Focus. No, it's Jay Silverberg.
No, that's somebody from the Neckbreaker podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I always thought that was from Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men. My fucking niece loves the theme song to that fucking Two and a Half Men.
Ugh.
Loves it.
Ugh.
She says like four words, and one was like, Madman, Madman.
Terrible.
And you gotta play, Men,
Oh, God. Are you a TV guy?
Yeah, I enjoy TV.
What are your go-to shows?
At the current moment,
yeah.
Enjoy Designated Survivor, Blacklist, This Is Us, Good Doctor, since the doctor and that's autistic, I kind of...
Right. Oh, with the kid from Bates Motel.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's one of the shows I like. And what about the past growing up? He-Man guy, G.I. Joe guy, Golden Girls?
Golden Girls?
Hell yeah. No, fuck yeah.
No, a lot of a lot of it was wrestling related. Also, Law and Order.
That's what I'm talking. SVU.
Yeah, and the regular Law and Order too.
Man. Yeah. SVU's the shit.
SVU's good shit. SVU's fucking good shit.
Yeah, I mean, also the crime drama stuff of people who kill other people and getting into their psyche really to really see what their motivations were. And
you see how he, his
clenched his... I know. Yeah. I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like this will be part of an ID channel special one day.
They're going to reenact this podcast with people that look nothing like us. Yeah. It was on... what's the fucking date here? It was on December 12th, approximately 8 o'clock, when Chris Kuehling snapped in Matthew Bowman's home.
That's one of my favorite things to do, is watch those ID channels, and then at the end they show you the real picture.
And they look nothing.
And me and my wife just look at each other like, that looks fucking nothing like that person.
And funny enough, my grandmother was on Unsolved Mysteries.
Whoa! Really?
Well, she was portrayed on Unsolved Mysteries.
Your grandmother was portrayed. Really, what happened?
Basically, the small town, like in upstate New York where she grew up in, they essentially had this family of siblings who all got, like, separated.
Yeah.
And she was the town clerk. So they portrayed her as the town clerk, and they called her up to do it, and she's like, And her husband at the time was like, oh, you don't need to do that. I'm like, eh, I guess she didn't want to do it or travel for it or what have you.
Yeah.
So instead of her on it, they put some other lady on it, but she sounded like this hillbilly lady. Like, I ain't seen him in so long. And now it's nothing like my grandmother, so.
Wow. I got nervous. I thought your grandmother went missing. Or she was like an unsolved mystery. I was like, whoa.
No.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is.
That's so funny.
But Unsolved Mysteries used to fucking creep me out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's because of Robert Stack.
Yeah, he was the man. Yeah.
That shit still creeps me out, though. You watch like that. I watch a lot of the ID channel.
Yeah.
Me and my wife. That fuck. But people that disappeared show and people just disappear, I'll be laying on the couch at like 2 o'clock in the morning. We'll be watching. My wife will fall asleep. I hear everything then.
It's called Disappeared, right?
Yeah. I hear whatever's outside. I think, too. I'm like, we went to see fucking Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweat Sunday night at Port Chester, New York. She checked her coat. She had to get her coat. She said, go warm up the car and wait for me. I walked outside. I sat in the car for like 10 minutes, and all I could think was, this is an episode of fucking...
Oh, she's gone. That's it.
This is the last time I saw her. Yeah. I was like, she's got 5 more minutes, and I'm fucking going back inside to find her.
It's over.
Fucking shit creeps me out.
It's over.
That I watch that shit. I lay in bed. I listen to the fucking the walls creak. Whatever. I think I gotta get up. I check the fucking doors. I make sure they're all locked.
Yeah, it's scary times.
Fuck that. No, I don't need to be disappearing.
No, you don't.
Fuck that.
No.
Also, watch some of the haunted shows like Paranormal Survivor and.
Oh, those are my. I love those shows. You ever watch Ghost Adventures?
No.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Paranormal Survivor, I think, actually comes on the same channel. Ghost Hunters, I used to always watch when that was on. You believe in that stuff?
I mean, I'm more of a let me see it to believe it, but I mean, I believe it does exist in some form or another.
Yeah.
It's not like one of the ones where the people walk around in costumes and like with all the gear on and stuff. More so the people telling their own stories.
Yeah. Now, those shows also have the reenactments.
Right.
Which are always, like, it shows the real people telling the story, and then it goes to the reenactments, right? And they never look anything like the people telling the story.
No.
Ever. But some of those stories, you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Exactly.
I love that stuff. I believe in that stuff. I think there's some wacky shit going on. What about aliens?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more skeptical about that.
Yeah?
But there are so many crockpot theories out there that... You know, some of them you got to be like, give them some merit to. I mean, that's another thing. People might think I'm a little off on it, but, like, you never know because some people say, oh, Egyptians were actually aliens.
I've heard that one.
And Stonehenge was made by aliens.
I think, this is going to make me sound like I'm fucking batshit crazy. I think, and it's possible, that aliens... influenced Egyptians, and aliens influenced whoever built Stonehenge, and it all has something to do with that and technology, and the gods that the Egyptians wrote about were actually aliens.
Right.
You know, and that's, I've always thought that even before that Ancient Aliens show came on and became like a parody of itself.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and all the wrestling fans who came back to say, let's give it a second chance, just left again.
Not because we'll bring it back. So you said when Eddie asked you about wrestling shows, you said a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
Strictly WWF? Did you do WCW?
Did WCW, did like the TNA when that was on, went back to the AWA and the ESPN Classics, as well as the Herb Abrams UWF.
Wow. Damn, I never watched a lot of UWF. I watched a lot of Global.
Yeah.
A lot of, were you familiar? Did you watch Global?
No, I never. I guess it wasn't on rotation then.
Yeah, no, you had UWF on rotation. That's something else. I don't think I've ever sat through one UWF show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a whole different world. That's where Big Boss Man was there first. He was UWF champion, I think. And
yeah.
He fucking feuded with, I think, One Man Gang, actually.
Yeah,
that Big Bubba and One Man Gang. I think, I might be wrong, but I think I remember seeing.
That's Bill Watts.
Okay, that was Bill
Herb Abrams. That's like Dr. Death and Paul Orndorff, and that was like in the early 90s.
Like the guys that just basically left WWF.
Yeah.
Or were coming off of like a WCW run.
Right.
That was kind of like the super indie in a way.
Right, like Ivan Koloff and Colonel DeBeers and Paul Orndorff. And B. Brian Blair. And
maybe like a Coco Beware sometimes.
I don't remember, but
Sergeant Slaughter, I believe, right?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Do you want to call Coco Beware?
You have his phone number?
I do.
I don't want to call Coco
Beware. I wrestled Coco Beware once.
I was there.
Yeah, it was interesting. He headbutted me in the crotch.
All right.
And that was about the ring time I spent with him. Him headbutting me in the dick.
Yep. That was it.
I still think that's cool.
Yeah.
It is cool. It's interesting.
I fucking think it's so cool.
Yeah.
To say fucking you got headbutted in the dick by Coco Beware.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of names out there who I've been able to be associated with in wrestling that it's like, you never really thought that was possible.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say, oh, you've had such an interesting career. Like, whether it is the cage match with Brutus Beefcake or being managed by Damian Demento or...
I'm sorry, what?
That would work now so fucking well.
You were managed by Damian Demento?
For one match, I was.
He meant Danny DeMonto.
No, I mean...
Did he look the same?
No.
Damn it.
He is a lot older. He didn't have hair and...
He didn't really have a lot of hair when he wore a suit. Damian Demento.
And he wore a suit.
That's fucking cool.
It is cool. It's so random out of nowhere.
And he chastised me for not using, for not like trying a submission hold.
Really?
Yeah.
This was as Big Ben?
Yeah.
What an interesting combination. Yeah. And this was after the match? He said you should have used a submission?
Yeah, it's like you should have like slapped on like a chin lock.
Oh, okay.
You know? Like you should have did that way. You never know. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Wow, that's a go Damian Demento.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I fucking love me some Damian Demento. I thought that guy was going to be gold.
Me too. He was, remember his name before he was Damian Demento? I got it. Yep.
Mondo.
Clean.
Mondo Michael? Clean.
Mondo Fuck. Clean. Mondo Clean. Before Damian Demento. We should get him on the show.
I would love to talk to Damian Demento. What? He kind of, after he left WWE, that WWF.
That was it.
Right?
That was it for him, really. For the most part.
He had like a good look to him, too. I'm very surprised that they never did anything with him.
Yeah.
Especially during that era.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, oh, he's gone? I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, the fucking Undertaker beat him at the first Raw, and that was it.
That was the last we saw of him. What about you? You ever think about, with what you're doing now, a manager?
Having one?
Yeah, or wouldn't really fit.
I mean,
because I'm not really getting along with Chris Payne these days. So I'm just saying.
This is a recruiting session now.
Just saying.
So I would be in the EJ5.
That'd be awesome. I just popped.
Or would it be the EJ4+1 or
EJ4+1, EJ5? Wow, that would be a cool visual. That'd be an interesting. You, the bodies, and Buster. Just you and Buster doing promos back and forth, getting on each other's nerves.
Really, a lot of managers I found to be unreliable.
Yeah, well, you've dealt with that.
Yeah, I've dealt with tag team partners who've been unreliable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weren't we looking a while back? I'm not going to name names, but we were looking for someone to... Yeah, that's right. With this, what you're doing now, we could never find a steady guy to come out with the cuffs.
Yeah, no.
We could never find just one guy and say, this is what you're going to do. Like, we could never... Yeah, that's right. And that was, like, a good spot for someone to have for a while.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they would have been turned on and decapitated at this point.
Right, yeah.
But still, you're right. Yeah, you had the probation officer that was just non-existent or always different.
Exactly, yeah. But
broke away from that. Do you see yourself eventually kind of snapping again and reverting back to needing to be locked up and chained up?
I would really hope not, but that just depends on how life goes.
Right, so there could be a situation in wrestling where something happens and you just fucking snap again. Only this time it's worse. And you come out with like a red jumpsuit, like evil.
I think that maybe... Yeah, I would definitely think so. Maybe if it ever happened where I got cheated at the WrestlePro Gold Championship.
Yeah, that could cause you to snap.
You do realize that since he walked in, that belt has been in his possession, right?
Yeah.
Shining Edward Jackson's. No, not his.
Yeah, as I said, yeah. It's been,
okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've been keeping my eye on it.
Keep poking the bear, Eddie. Keep poking the bear.
I'm keeping one eye on that belt.
I know. And one eye on my neck.
I am null and void of anything that happens once you leave Studio B, so.
I'm leaving soon by myself anyway, so. I got to go do something.
Eddie's, you got to go do something.
I got to get home safely.
Yeah.
Without Ben killing me in the fucking parking lot.
Well, I mean, you get your lobbying to get him in the EJ5.
I think that would be cool. But then again, this is what I see in pro wrestling a lot, and I don't think this will ever happen to him. I see when an intimidating character, when they turn face, they start doing comedy with them. I see that a lot, and I hate that. They did it with Kane. They did it with Big Show. They always do it with a monster heel when they turn face. A lot of the time, they start doing comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I think once they use them to get, you know, whatever, the Triple H's of the world or the Austins of the world over, then what's their, you know, what are you going to have? Run roughshod through the whole rest of the company and then lose again to Austin or whomever?
Right. But I don't think it would work here. I think he could do comedy and be fucking gold if we did some really funny segments. If it led to him maybe snapping again.
Yeah. I mean, if it works with the character.
Right. But then I feel like, Ben, you've done enough of the comedy.
I still think I'm funny in my own way.
You are funny in your own way. But you're also terrifying in your own way, too.
Right.
So it definitely works. You're just you.
Exactly.
You're just you. Right now, it's the scary version.
Well, scary to some people.
Scary to some people. Well, I know there was a promo recorded after the last show.
Yeah, a little bit of venting.
A little bit of venting.
Yeah.
I think you scared the cameraman a little bit in real life.
Yeah.
Felt a little closed in there, but yeah. So that'll come out once we get the footage of what happened to you with Reality Check. So what's Kevin's beef with you anyway? Just because you're the champ? And he wants to be champ?
Probably.
That's really what it comes down to.
I mean, he was the big shot in the other organization, and now maybe it hasn't been as stellar of a win-loss record for him. And now he's trying to just go back to Reality Check, trying to recruit people from outside of WrestlePro to be kind of like, I guess, the guys who are kissing his butt since the other guys kissing his butt aren't aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So when, I guess because Kevin's not well liked at Impact, I guess he just feels like, oh, I'm gonna be a dick.
Yeah. Now. Basically, it sounds about right. Across the board.
And now it's, yeah. And as I want to march forward with this new gimmick, it seems like he wants to go back to the old thing that worked for him.
Right. Where you're moving forward and having success.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, well, me being nice here at WrestlePro isn't working for me, so if I'm a douche and an asshole and have other people help me.
Right, exactly.
Then I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think you'll get through this as champion and move on to the next.
No, I think so. I mean, Delroy helped me out. I heard from word of mouth, rather, that Habib tried to help me out.
Yeah, he's an idiot. I don't know. Yeah. fucking Habib. Jesus Christ. When he ran out, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is the only guy they're sending out from the locker room to help. This poor little Habib. No one else was stepping up.
You know what it is? I mean, I've seen it from the fans, too. I just think that they're not sure if they like me or not. And really, Delroy helped me out. Habib's like, coming to help me out. And, you know, I mean, hopefully, like, I've been trying to get the fans to like me more.
Yeah.
I mean, because really, I just think they misunderstand me a little bit.
Which takes time, you know, which takes time. It definitely takes time. And if you associate yourself with, like, a Habib and a Delroy, I mean, they're just like, okay, this guy is... It might be a thing where, okay, is he a good guy now, or is he still a bad guy just feuding with Bobby Wayward? Is he champion? Like, I think this promo you cut's going to help. I think more promos need to be cut and put out there.
Yeah, I mean, I just know the socially awkward part of me. You know, the promos are a little, but you know, I mean, I just think some people in the locker room too are kind of like iffy on it. That's what I mean. Like, not just, like, the fans. Like, people in the locker room are a little iffy on it, too. It's like, is he really nice? Because he's kind of scary and, you know, he doesn't really stop until he's done beating people up.
Yeah. Yeah. But the switch definitely flips as soon as that music hits.
Yeah.
That music fits you so well.
Yeah.
So good. It's definitely so good. I remember we were in Union. And it was like your debut.
Yeah.
And I played you off to People Are Strange, but I played you out to the one we both chose first. Was that, what the fuck was that song?
Hall and Mountain King?
Yeah, it was just like that metal kind of whatever it was. Yeah. And I remember Pat and Kevin saying, that song was the shits. That song was atrocious. Change it. And they said, play him off to the one that you made the promo to.
Yeah.
And then I was like, People Are Strange. And I think that fits you so much better.
Yeah.
Definitely fits you so much better. Music is so important when it comes to like a wrestler's gimmick, I think.
Yeah.
And the character. Are you happy with it? Do you like it?
I mean, honestly, I've never been one to be like, oh, I need to have like this music or anything like that. And when my old tag partner, for instance, is like, oh, should we come out to my music? Because he was so like happy pants about like, oh, I like my music.
Yeah, it was a big deal to him, right?
Exactly. It's like, great, we'll come out to your music.
It's like he must be like, oh, you're the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. So easy. Was this the old was this the older guy?
Yeah, this is the older like an older tag partner, but you know, we don't need to get into that.
Okay. There's a little heat there?
Yeah, a little heat.
Yeah?
What
happened? Without you don't have to name him.
You know, just more so I thought that he was a friend, but then it was kind of like, I'm always the one initiating the conversations. I'm always the one kind of like putting the foot forward with it.
Yeah.
And essentially just once he kind of flaked out on a couple of important things, it's kind of like, all right, I really don't need you.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you don't need tag team partners like that. No. Or people like that in your life in general.
Exactly, you know, yeah.
In the reality of it all, it's unreliable shit.
Exactly.
It's nonsense. So going in on your loan and doing what you're doing now is definitely best for you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the same thing with managers to tag team partners. I mean, people in general, sometimes you really can't rely on them.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
100%. If I manage you, you can rely on me.
Wow.
I would just go saying. I wouldn't go that far.
Just saying.
Just saying. There's no gold in the EJ5.
Yes, there is. We're the Trios champions. Six-man tag champs. And we were tag team champions.
Not for much longer.
Who's going to take our Trios titles? Job security?
I don't know. You're spending all your time doing commentary, less time focusing on EJ5.
That's fine. You're
trying to recruit big Chris Avery Kuehling over here. The
big
group.
Chris Benwell Cromwell Benwell.
I don't
fucking
know what his goddamn name is. You fucksters confused the shit out of me.
Dr. Strangler Assassin.
Dr. Strangler Assassin.
Yeah, Acula Cromwell.
The assassin eliminated me from a battle royal that had Balls Mahoney watching and laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So that's a story.
There you go.
After I put you in a full Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Good times.
Did either of you fine gentlemen catch Monday Night Raw last night?
No. I did not.
Smidge.
Like a smidge?
A smidge of it.
The midge?
What did you get to see?
What I saw, the only thing I really got to see was the whatchamacallit match, the Cesaro and Roman Reigns.
That's all you needed to see.
That was the only good.
I mean, the three matches with the guys in the Shield were excellent, but the Cesaro Roman Reigns was
fantastic.
Fucking Cesaro is great, and it's astounding to see how much Roman Reigns has gotten better in the last couple of years.
Oh yeah.
And they Roman Reigns, great match, tore the house down. The stuff with Enzo and Nia Jax is gold.
I knew that would be good.
It's so gold.
I knew that would be fucking good.
They've mixed, Drew Gulak is mixing there.
It's perfect.
And that's awesome. It's awesome to see them, doing their stuff together and, just good stuff all around. The biggest letdown, I think, is they did the Kane-Braun Strowman thing for the number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
Winner was going to fight Brock at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Ended in a double count out.
That sucks. So it's going to be a three-way.
Yeah, so let's see. It's I don't know.
So Kane can take the fall and no one looks weak.
That's true, I guess.
All right.
Outside of that, I mean, it was a good show. It's, you know, Monday Night Raw. It takes forever.
Yeah.
Finn beat Curtis Axel in a minute and 40 seconds, so.
Lovely.
You had that. definitely go out of your way to watch the three Shield matches. Rollins took on Sheamus, Joe took on Dean Ambrose, and then, of course, Roman Reigns, Cesaro.
Did Joe win?
Yes, he beat Dean Ambrose via the referee stopping the match.
Okay. Does he use the Muscle Buster still or no? Not since he almost killed TJ?
Yeah, no. He's Kukina Clutch. And,
okay.
And, yeah, they're not letting him do the Muscle Buster. What do we got going on here?
What, on television?
So we got fireworks. Who is that? What is this? It's a midget.
It is.
We're watching primetime wrestling.
It's Gino Gotz.
88.
Look at him go.
And
Gino Gotz can manage you.
No, he can't.
Why are you trying to get him a manager?
I just want to be his manager. I think we have a lot of fun.
Man, yeah, you got to pick your allegiance.
Yeah.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, Eddie.
Sure I can. There's always room in the Jackson family for another member.
I look at this man here. I don't know. I think if you're going to manage him.
Yeah.
And if he accepted that, he would need your 100% undivided attention.
You know why a shoot would not want to manage you? Legit reason why I wouldn't want to manage you?
Because you don't want to get clothes on in the back of the head?
When you turn on me. Yes, that's exactly why. Because I know it would come eventually where that would happen. And I think about all the guys now that I have. I'm like, okay, I could take their finishers and be okay with it. But I would be scared to death to take his.
This is a fucking midget match.
Yeah, it's a midget match.
This is amazing. But you got Burning Hammered.
Yeah.
You've gotten...
Ego-driven.
Yep. You've got some shit stapled to your forehead, right?
My tie. Four staples in my head. Shell-shocked.
You would do all that instead of getting clothesline in the back of the head?
Yeah. 100 times.
All right.
100 times over.
He doesn't want you as a manager anyway. I can just tell. I'm sorry.
He does. Secretly. Privately. We'll talk
publicly.
And the Rich Swan thing fucked everything up, so they had another four-way. So Cedric Alexander won a four-way. which is worth checking out.
So Rich Swan number two.
He's going to... I don't have an inappropriate...
Has anyone said Swan Song yet for this whole fucking ordeal?
You said it.
Anyone else?
Not to my knowledge.
Why hasn't that happened yet?
I don't know.
Too obvious.
See, maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
We are live on the rant for another 10 minutes. We are in studio with Chris Avery Kuehling.
News
Follow
and notes.
Him on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Kuehling and then ChrisAveryKuehling.com is his website. Impact. All you need to know about Impact
is that my buddy Kevin's on it.
KM, he went to a local gym and he beat up a bunch of guys to prove himself to American Top Team.
Did any of those guys look familiar?
No.
For real?
Rosemary defeated Allie and Sienna to advance to the knockout championship finals.
Rosemary's fucking awesome.
Yeah, she is. Matt Seidel and EC3 went to a draw for the Impact Grand Championship. But Falaba was one of the judges, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's fucking great. OVE and LAX continue their feud next week. Conan will be talking with Sammy Callahan. And then Johnny Impact and Petey Williams beat Eli Drake and Chris Adonis, which was definitely a fun match. It's nice to see Petey Williams over in Canada getting his due because he's a super talented cat.
Sure is.
You know, there's a pay-per-view Sunday.
Yeah?
What? Clash of Champions, Eddie.
What?
The SmackDown pay-per-view.
Oh.
Sponsored by Mattel, Toys R Us, Tap Out, and Aeropostale.
Eric Tap Out?
Does not say. Just says Tap Out. So it's possibility.
Possibility.
At the TD Garden in Boston, I'll give you the five matches they have announced.
Okay.
And we don't have to go off the air at 9 o'clock, or we don't have to stop at 9 o'clock. If we want to keep bullshitting, we can, or whenever you guys want to wrap up. But we will be off the rant at 9 o'clock. Okay. And you have to listen to the rest of this in podcast form. Which people have been doing.
So. Oh, yeah. Numbers have been really fucking good lately.
Numbers have been good. We
Are they better than ever at this point?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think once we've been more consistent and mm-hmm. hasn't been, and with all, you know, respect to, like, Kevin and Tony for doing, like, the one-man shows, Tony, like, walking around and just talking into his phone, or Kevin doing his show in the alley.
Yeah.
When we're consistently, when there's at least two.
Yeah, I don't know.
No? You haven't heard any of those? Like, him, like, behind a fucking bar just talking into his phone?
No. Just in order just to put a show out.
Just to put a show out.
That's
But stupid. Now that there's, you know, we're constantly putting out a show every week with at least two of us, the numbers have been going up.
Good. Been doing it long enough.
I can't believe I haven't been watching the midget match.
It's wonderful.
This was on Primetime Wrestling.
He's doing Bah. He was the middle midget King Kong Bundy strap guy midget was doing the Bah
Lord
head.
Littlebrook?
Littlebrook. Lord Littlebrook. That's Lord Littlebrook?
Yeah.
Who's he wrestling? Mighty. Who's that guy?
Cowboy Lang?
Cowboy Lane.
Lang.
Lang. Cowboy Lang. Fuck. These guys are both dead, I think.
Probably.
Wow. Okay, go ahead. I know, it's distracting.
Clash no, it's fine. It's fine.
Yes, Clash of Champions. It should just be all midget matches.
In this day and age, if they took TV time away from guys to put two midgets on, we would throw a fucking...
I'd throw a party.
People would throw a conniption.
I'd be like, good. Fuck. Thank you.
Oh, look, I'm all for an entertaining
Give them a 20-minute segment.
20 minutes.
Let them cut promos and throw spaghetti on each other.
Out of all your minis, Mini Vader, Mini Mankind.
Max Mini. Yeah.
Little Doink.
He's my favorite. Max Mini.
There was Mini Vader, Mini. There was Mini Mankind.
They were all Max Mini.
Beaver.
Little Beaver. Lord Littlebrook. Sky Lolo.
Haiti
Kid. Dink. Gino Gotz.
There was wasn't there a tag match where it was Mini Vader and Mini Mankind against somebody?
Mini Brett. Was one of Mini Brett and just wore the Halloween mask?
I think that was just the day after Brett screwed Brett.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah, yeah.
That was in 97, right?
Yeah.
Probably like Atagoncito and...
That's right. They had all the real... They had the Lucha Minis.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the
Lucha Minis
with AAA.
Fucking fun. Yeah, they used to fly around like little fucking jackrabbits.
Yeah, bring them back.
I'd love to.
I don't see why they don't.
I'd love to.
It's entertaining.
Sure as hell is.
You have to call them little people, though.
Didn't they try that like in 2005 on SmackDown?
They only had two guys, though.
So they had a whole division. They had like Super Porky. eating like a ham or something.
Oh, super that's right. Porky. Wow, I totally fucking blocked that all out of my head.
A super Porky reference.
Even though WLC with Swoggle was fucking great.
Who do you wrestle?
El Torito.
Yes. Okay, El Torito. God.
They put on a hell of a match.
That was only a couple years ago, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy shit. All right, so what are the matches announced
crazy
for?
Crazy how much of this shit I block out of my memory.
I block half of it.
Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with Shane McMahon as a special guest referee.
Okay.
If Owens and Zayn lose, they will be fired from the WWE.
Hmm.
Your face is fucking priceless right there. We got a four-way tag match for the WWE SmackDown Championship here.
Oh, boy.
The Usos defending their championships against the New Day.
Uh-huh.
Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
Mm.
And Rusev and Aiden English.
Yeah, great. Sounds fucking good.
Charlotte Flair against Natty.
That's fine. Haven't seen that 1,000 times.
Triple threat match for the U.S. Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Corbin against Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler.
The most over part of that match will be Bobby Roode's theme.
Yes.
Of course. But it'll be good.
And AJ against Jinder for the WWE Championship.
They're still doing this Jinder thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess they got to let it run its course.
Yeah.
Okay. It is what it is.
It is what it is. So that's Sunday. Clash of Champions.
Okay.
Place in Boston. SmackDown's on now, but we don't have it on because we have a guest in studio, Mr. Chris Avery Kuehling. And we, like I said, we're going off the rant in 4 minutes, and then we're going to cover some news and notes and probably do a little more bullshitting.
Let's have Ben plug again while we're on the rant before we go off.
Yeah. So make sure you guys follow Chris on Chris Ben, whatever you want to call him. Follow him on Twitter, Instagram, at Chris Kuehling. Kuehling spelled Q-U-E-L-I-N-G. And then ChrisAveryKuehling.com is his website. And that's if you want to book him for your shows, the information's there. His upcoming events are there. Outside of WrestlePro in February, that's their next show, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Emma and Angelina Love already announced.
Yeah,
will you be working anywhere else in the coming weeks where fans can go and check you out?
Staples.
Not currently, but I am putting out feelers.
Okay. And then your website, ChrisAveryKuehling.com, all the updates will be there?
Yes.
All right, so go give him a follow, check it out. Follow him on Twitter. You don't have a lot of Twitter followers.
Okay.
That hurts my feelings.
I have 300.
I feel like you should have more.
I do too, but Twitter is my slowest platform.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Speed it up, people. Let's go. Let's get the Shining Wizards Army behind Chris Kuehling here. He's the WrestlePro gold champion. And, of course, go YouTube him. Check out his matches. He works well. And you don't want to be on the receiving end of a clothesline to the back of the head.
No, which does not have a name yet, does it?
Doesn't need one.
No, I don't think so. I scream he took his head off every time.
Self-explanatory,
that's
right?
That's it. I think it works.
Chris, any other plugs before we drop off the rant?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty much everything.
Perfect.
Yeah, you heard it here first. No, that's stupid.
I thought my ending was awkward.
I suck tonight. I'm not doing well. I'm sorry, Chris.
Do we have time to try that again?
Yes.
Well, we could try it all night long, bud.
Go for it, Matt.
Oh, you want me to try it again?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Oh, you want to try again, Ben? I think you did fine. You heard it here first is great. You heard it here first.
That's right. You folks. Heard it here first. I'm going to
hang myself.
Oh, God. I feel like fucking Tony tonight.
You're fine. You're not shit in the bed.
News and notes?
News and notes.
News and notes.
Hulk
Hogan.
I have to disappear.
Hulk Hogan has a shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees.
I don't want to know what it says.
He has a store.
Oh, a store?
He's got his own store with PWT now, so.
Oh, my God.
You can go check out the Hulk Hogan Pro Wrestling Tees store since WWE booted him.
Yep.
A lawsuit filed by Buff Bagwell and Raven against the WWE attempting to open the door for wrestlers to get royalties for appearances on the network was officially dropped last week by both sides.
Okay.
And they have come to an agreement.
Where they just got some money.
I am guessing they just got some money.
They got some money.
My mentor, Raven.
Yes, your mentor.
The Rock is getting a star on the Hall of Fame.
Good for him. He deserves it.
The Rock.
The Hall of Fame?
The Walk of Fame.
Did you say Hall of Fame?
Probably.
That's amazing. I understand your botches now that I don't even compute them as botches.
And if you don't know why, you should probably go listen to last week's episode where we named every Rock movie he was ever in.
Yeah.
That's why he gets the Hollywood. Hollywood?
Are you nervous because of Christopher Avery Keeling? Maybe. No. Right?
Not at all.
Possibly.
Subconscious.
Yes.
Fucking kill myself. Jesus Christ.
Don't go that far.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry.
It's bad.
Is that too much?
Yeah. I will say what was also almost too much is the joke I made when you said, Chris, Ben, I almost just went, wah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was that joke.
I mean, it's just his name.
Yeah, I choked on that one. Sorry.
Yeah, so did Nancy.
Fuck.
Was that too much?
Yeah.
All right.
Bad.
We're back. I'm back.
You're back. All right, good. We're where we need to be.
That was all the notes I really had. It seemed like a slow news week outside of the Michael Elgin thing.
And the Rich Swann.
And the Rich Swann thing. Yeah. New Japan, their big show, heading to Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Yeah.
So
that's about it.
We got Final Battle this Friday night for Ring of Honor. Me and Kevin are recording our Final Battle special tomorrow.
Special. Oh, I read somewhere, and I think this would make sense. Not really Ring of Honor related, but kind of with the thing that Cody and the Bucks want to do.
Okay.
If they got CM Punk to be a part of that, to wrestle, you'd fill that stadium.
Yeah, you would.
That would do it, especially if they did say they did it in fucking Chicago.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cody said he narrowed it down to 4.
New York? No, New York. 4 venues? Did he say which ones?
No. No, he did not. But he alluded that they were over in the UK this past week, and he alluded that maybe over there.
Interesting. Oh, really?
Spots, yeah.
I feel like that's...
Is that a cop-out?
That's such a cop-out. Wrestling... Like, that always draws well in the UK, especially wrestling that doesn't always draw over here. Like, look at when TNA does pay-per-views over there.
Right.
They're fucking huge crowds. I feel like it's just, you got to do it in the U.S. market.
10,000 people. I mean, 10,000 people is 10,000 people.
Yeah, but do it in the U.S. market and really fucking be impressive. I've seen 10,000 people at TNA shows in the UK. And then they go back to the Impact Zone in front of, like, whatever's there. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I just think
it's not impressive to me unless it's in the United States, because that's it's just not. It does nothing for me if they're over there and they drew 10,000 people. Nope.
All right.
Doesn't mean shit to me. I think it's important for them to do it here to prove a point. It's a cop out. You said it perfectly. It's easier for them to do that over there.
Okay.
Because that means they can't do it here. That's why they're doing it there. It basically them admitting, we can't do it here.
They didn't say they were doing it there. It's just been they said it would be one of the spots.
I hope it's not.
Might be easier to get guys into over there than it is to get people into the States too.
Are looking at these people from Japan or from here? From
yeah, they're really all they said is that him and the Bucks are going to finance the whole thing.
It's a lot of money.
It is. They got a lot of money.
They do have a lot of money. They got a lot of Hot Topic money.
They sell a lot of fucking merch, bro.
They can just, yeah, fuck. They sure do.
A lot of merch. Every wrestling show that you see people in the crowd, you could at least a dozen people, at least on the hard camera side, wearing some kind of...
Oh, yeah. No matter what.
Young Bucks Bullet Club merchandise. Yeah.
And that's what I forgot. CAQ shirts.
There we go.
Hopefully they listen to the podcast version.
They will. We're not that far into overtime, so don't worry. Don't you worry. This is definitely worth a listen to.
Of course. No.
And when we in the episode description, we're going to put that in there.
What's that?
CAQ shirts.
CAQ shirts? Yeah. Write that down.
It goes in the...
Good Lord.
CAQ shirts. Can you get them on your website?
I have a merchandise section. You can't buy them on the website. You can go through PayPal.
That's buying?
But it's not like I haven't like set it up to where you can literally click and PayPal.
Okay.
Maybe I'll have to go do that and race home.
There you go.
Do it. Why you not? Should.
I got a race. And
If one thing you can learn from your arch nemesis Kevin Matthews is you got to market your shirts.
Yeah,
he's all about the merch.
Arch nemesis.
I think we can make a really awesome commercial of you selling your shirts.
Probably.
I think there's a lot of fun things we could do.
Yeah.
I think you need more promos, more videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna get my ass out to the rec center one day after work, and maybe we can just do some cool shit.
Yeah. Definitely.
You're due.
Yeah.
I think you're due. I think we're due for like a part two kind of what we did with part one.
Part one meaning?
Part one was the introducing you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And part two, where you're at so far.
Gotcha. I think,
yeah. Even though the one gimmick in that video, did you ever see the video I made of him?
Which one?
The introducing Christopher Avery Keeling. Making a monster.
I feel like I have seen. Yes, I have seen that.
Yeah, good, right?
Yes.
You did fucking great. I wish you did rock that gimmick where you were dressed in your graduation gown and hat and just drew pictures. That'd be fucking phenomenal. Oh, and another thing I was thinking that would be interesting for you is you snap and start doing the Foley thing and reverting to like your past personalities.
Oh, well, you never know.
That would be cool too.
Oh.
That would be cool. It'd be interesting. So much you could do. There's a lot of dimensions. You're not a one-dimensional wrestler.
No, I hope I'm not.
No, not at all. I mean, there's a lot to you.
I don't do a lot of fancy moves, but
what you do looks like it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
Especially that clothesline and the kick when you just fucking scream and kick someone, and it could be either lands on the dick or in the face.
Well, or somewhere in between.
Or somewhere in between, but wherever it lands looks fucking brutal.
Nobody wants a kick in the dick.
No one wants a kick in the dick. No one wants a kick in the dick.
You guys got anything else? You want to take this dog and pony show?
Let's take it home. I gotta get fucking early as fuck.
Eddie's got to get up early as fuck.
I'm not falling asleep on the couch like I was last week.
Last week we did go a little long.
And I started falling asleep on the couch.
And you did start falling asleep on the couch.
There you go.
That's
always fun.
Yeah. Any parting words?
Really, just thanks for having me on. And, you know, it was a really good experience being on the podcast, the live stream, what have you.
Yeah. You were awesome. Thank you for coming in, man.
No, thank you guys for having me. Definitely a good conversation.
You were a name we've been throwing around for a while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had to get the timing down, but yeah, you were a name that was definitely at the top of the list to have on.
I gotcha. Yeah, I do appreciate it, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you are welcome back anytime you like, sir.
Yeah, you never know. I might sneak through the window.
See, that is fucking crazy.
Dressed as the Strangler. Just peeking through the window.
Yeah.
But no, I'll end it on this too. This has been a personal favorite episode for me because I think over the past couple years I've really gotten to know Ben, and I think we formed a really nice friendship, and to see him succeed as much as he has in the past year makes me very happy, and I see a lot of awesome things coming in the future for you.
Yes, thank you. And hopefully the people out there listening may have a little bit of a better understanding of where I'm coming from through all of this and just kind of see where I came from and some of the challenges I've really worked hard to overcome.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
I agree with that 100%.
And, so. I mean, you showed hard work pays off. I mean, WrestlePro Gold Champion. WrestlePro is no normal indie promotion. I mean, they're one of the biggest ones on the East Coast. And to have Pat and all those guys decide that you're going to be the guy to be the champion, it speaks volumes of the work that you've put in and your dedication.
It's a big fucking middle finger to people like Gino, who said, oh, I'm not going to use you. You're not setting up my ring anymore.
Yeah.
Now look at him. It's like, come on.
His loss is their gain.
Hell yeah.
That's the way it works.
Huge gain. Chris, thank you.
No, thank you.
This was awesome, man. Thank you so much. We're going to take pictures now.
We are, yes. And I have to get a liner from him, too.
Yes.
We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Check out the Shining Wizards Network as well, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home of the High Spot Podcast, The Drink with Gino, Radioactive Metal, The Inconclusive Breakdown, The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Destruction 101, A genuine taste of wrestling with Sean Donovan. My unconventional life with Nigel McGuinness. And, of course, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Give us a Bushwhackers?
This is the Bushwhackers. I didn't have time to pull any other sound bites or anything for tonight's show, so this is what we got.
Were you backstage? Were you there when I was walking around like a bushwhacker Saturday night?
No, I must have missed it.
There was a good 10 minutes where I was just walking around like a bushwhacker for no fucking reason.
A little walkabout.
Just walking around.
Yeah, some people thought it was from Mustafa.
Yeah. I had my hat off. My beer gut.
Check us out. ShiningWizards.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. We want to talk to you, so hit us up, chat us up on the Twitter.
You
want
to talk
Twitter.
To them.
I do like talking to the wrestling fans on the Twitter at Wizards Podcast. We have a pro wrestling tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards. I don't know if you noticed, Eddie, the new Shining Wizards t-shirt available.
Oh, shit.
Shining Wizards.
Where's mine?
prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards.
Do we have them here?
No. You have to buy one, like the rest of us.
Do we have one to give Ben right now?
I don't have anything right now.
Bitch, that looks great. That's a great shirt.
Yeah, they did the logo bigger.
Yeah.
They fucked my order up, too.
How?
Mine was supposed to be black and yellow.
Oh.
And Lisa's was supposed to be black and red, and she got a black and yellow.
She got the same size shirt, too?
No.
That'd be funny.
That would be funny.
She'd be swimming in it.
So check us out, prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards. Collar and elbow brand. If you go over there, you want to buy one of those cool t-shirts, throw in the code word WIZARDS at checkout. You'll save 10%. And, of course, if you're still doing your Christmas shopping, go to ShiningWizards.com. Click on the Amazon link. Go about your business. We see a very small percentage of your sales. And that all helps go forward in this wonderful world of podcasting where we do this all for you, all for free.
Free.
I got no fucking music on this laptop, so you're stuck with Nia Jax's song.
I'm not like most girls. I look like most girls.
Eddie's got to go
mall.
Do stuff. Chris has to go back to the insane asylum. I have to process and post this episode.
Her song should be, I look like most girls.
I think Nia Jax is pretty.
She's beautiful. I think she's beautiful. But, she has a very pretty face.
Okay.
Very pretty face.
I don't know if you're going to hate on her like Tony does.
No, she has a very pretty face.
Okay.
I've mellowed, man.
Okay, I don't fucking know.
I've mellowed.
It's been months since we've sat down and done podcasts. 3 weeks in a row now. This is...
Yeah.
This
I haven't done 3 weeks in a row in a while.
Next week is the Christmas show at Tony's.
Woohoo.
So make sure you tune in. Again, me and Kevin will be doing the Ring of Honor show, recording it Wednesday. Tomorrow it will be up hopefully Thursday. You can listen to that before Final Battle. And if you're going to Final Battle, say hello to me and Kevin. We will be there. Kevin will be drunk. I will be awkward.
Perfect.
That's how we do it. I'm out of here. I'm done with this shit.
Good night.
See you guys next week. Again, a big thanks to Chris Kuehling, at Chris Kuehling on Twitter and Instagram. Follow him, ChrisAveryKuehling.com, for all his bookings. He's going to murder me and Eddie now.
Yep.
See you guys later.
Unsolved Mysteries.